Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Hank Williams Jr., as you know, has been pulled after 20-plus years from the intro song for Monday Night Football. And I normally wouldn't cover a story like this, but we will later in the hour, because I want to actually play what he said. And the reason he's getting pulled is not really comparing Obama to Hitler. He was saying that basically both Boehner and Obama are our enemies. And I happen to know from a little bird that told me that the Williams family is pretty awake. Actually, we were contacted a couple of years ago by Hank Williams III, who I'd like to get on the show and was talking about coming on, but said, oh, I don't like to get political. But I think they have gotten political, so why not go all the way? I hope that Hank Williams Jr. Comes out and defends himself instead of letting them basically have him come back and grovel to Obama. But something tells me that's not going to happen. But this is all part of this reign of terror and political correctness. So coming up a little bit later in the hour, we're going to play that clip and actually analyze what was said. But look, it's time to boycott the NFL. It's used as a distraction. It's become the American pastime instead of the free market, Bill of Rights, and Constitution. It's become an opiate, a gladiatorial diversion from the real world, and it's now become a beta testing ground for Homeland Security to grandstand in every major football game and remind you that you can only trust the government and Big Sis, and that they're going to grab everyone's genitals and your wife and daughter's breast and your son's genitals and your genitals. This is the type of stuff goes on there, and it's going to expand out, as Homeland Security has said in press releases, to every shopping mall, checkpoints on highways, you name it. Checkpoints like the one I drove through Sunday, and we showed that video last night up on InfoWars Nightly News, and that video is posted at PrisonPlanet.tv right now and is still restreaming. After the show's over, airs at 7, and then when it's over, it just keeps restreaming and also archived there at PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. Both those URLs will take you right there to it. And a lot of the nightly news we also end up posting to YouTube because we couldn't afford the bandwidth ourselves. And we do have those tidbits posted up at InfoWars.com. It's got the headline, Internal Checkpoints Exposed. They've got hundreds of these 100 miles into the country under federal regulations. And I was making the joke with some of the folks that are here in the office because I've seen it myself. They don't want to mess with illegal aliens. So you got brown skin, brown hair generally. That's what the guys were telling me in the back. They just wave you through. But if you're black or white, they go ahead and pull you out, send the drug dogs in. They're looking for drugs. They don't want to find illegals. And the joke by one of the crew who's Hispanic was you drive through it, they wave you through if you're Hispanic, and then you get up to the rest stop or the gas station past it, and it's like 20 illegals piling out of a van. It's just hilarious. So, but it's, oh, look, wow, Jaron just ran this in. Hank Williams Jr.'s son, my dad should not talk politics. Well, Hank Williams Jr. III, whatever, you need to come on this show. I mean, hell, I guess you were thinking about coming on and talking politics, but thought better of it. The answer is all of us need to come out and speak. All of us need to be able to say whatever we want and not have it to where you say something that the establishment doesn't like, you get fired. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to say what color tennis shoes you like. I saw an article where high school kids can't wear crosses around their necks now because some gang members wear crosses around their neck. Well, whoop-de-doo. I've been in a restaurant before when I was in college with my hat turned around backwards and come over and have people say, take that off, that's gang. And I'm just like, you're kidding. I just flipped my hat around backwards. I mean, it does look stupid. It is kind of a moron IQ reducer look, but, you know. It's sunny outside, you go inside, you just rotate it around. Back when I wore IQ reducers, and I had him say, you know, turn that around.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, the fourth day of October, 2011. And we do have the head of the American Small Business League joining us to look at the protest against Wall Street. They're funded by the Federal Reserve. They want to blame the free market. They want to blame all private business. They want to blame the 30,000, I looked up the number, it's over 30,000 companies traded on different stock markets based in Wall Street. They want to just generally blame private property for this when it's government. It's government that has been lobbied and infiltrated with a revolving door with the elite of Wall Street, the private inner coterie of six big mega banks and the private Fortune 100 that they own and dominate. They write the laws in this country and worldwide through globalism to ban their competition, to take the property of whoever they want, and to set up a global corporate structure. Just last week, the New York Times came out and basically whitewashed a UN/World Bank program in different African countries where they go into indigenous populations who've lived on the land for millennia and burn down their huts, line them up, and shoot them. And the New York Times said, well, you know, maybe it's a little harsh, but it is what we have to do to stop climate change. They were going into the areas to run the people off the land because it has to be left off limits so that they can plant trees to offset human carbon dioxide. That is back in the news today. Honduran farmers slaughtered in name of global warming. UN-accredited companies violently seize land to allow biofuels as part of carbon trading scheme. 23 farmers in Honduras were slaughtered in a cold blood by hired mercenaries as they tried to protect their land from being seized by a corporation who wanted to use the land to produce biofuels as part of the United Nations accredited UN carbon trading scheme. This is at Infowars.com. You should get this and send it to all the Al Gore acolytes and the supporters of the UN. Protests erupted in July when six international human rights advocacy groups presented a report to the EP detailing what they called murders and forced evictions of peasants in El Bajo in the Valley of Northern Honduras, reports the New American magazine. The International Federation of Human Rights report accuses UN-sanctioned palm oil mills of stealing farmland from Honduran natives and killing or wounding them as they attempted to defend their property. It says the companies, acting with the government impunity, regularly target members of local land rights movement who end up murdered in feigned car accidents or hunted down and shot by private security guards. And it just goes on and on. I remember back in 99, an issue of that I showed on my local TV show and on radio of National Geographic. And by the way, I tried to dig through this in storage because all my years of storage is back there in the warehouse and I couldn't find it. I know listeners, though, it was like last week I said on air, I can't find the Rick Perry clip of him speaking to a Hispanic group talking in Southern California like, hello, good to see you. I am Rick Perry. Our whole crew couldn't find it. You found it within seconds and sent it to Rob Dew's email. It's the same thing. Anything like that. I remember an article in 99, I think April issue, or was it April 2000 of New Yorker magazine had a pro De Beers World Diamond Monopoly article about how they use UN troops and NATO troops to go in and slaughter anybody that tries to mine their own diamonds, even on their own land, and how cute it was and how great it was and how powerful they are. I'd like somebody to find that and mail it to me. I guess I could go get a back issue from New Yorker magazine. The point is, you probably got it right there on your shelf. It was 99, maybe even 98 issue of National Geographic. It said UN Biosphere. And I want to say it was like Burma. And it showed in it UN peacekeepers paid by the World Bank to guard the forest. And it said they shoot and kill villagers, people who live there. And it was a pro-killing article. It said, you know, if locals try to cut wood and sell it, or if they try to have it for firewood, they're shot, even though it's their land, actually. They've been driven off of it. I mean, again, there's just all this data. I mean, just last week, we had articles about Uganda and other countries in Africa where World Bank companies are publicly there, and they go into the governments of Uganda and others and say, all right, give us all these tens of thousands of acres, or we're not going to, you know, give you more loans, or we're going to charge you higher interest on your existing loans. And they say, okay, infrastructure is yours, land is yours. And they send them in. And here's an article right here. And I've told this story a lot, and of all the great journalists out there that listen to the show, all the great journalists out there that tune in, you ought to go dig it up, because I know it's true. I know I saw it in the mid-80s, right up, I guess, until 1990, when I was back in high school. I would go with my parents to Mexico on vacation a couple times a year, and they would rent a car and drive all over southern Mexico and southeastern Mexico. And there were, in the hotels, when we would stop at them, brochures, concierge would be promoting it. Get land. You can't really use it, but you're paying for it. It's a UN biosphere. And then my dad began to investigate it because he's like, wow, Mexico's never allowed land sales to foreigners. We might buy some land down here. But he said, oh, no, it's politically dirty. They force people off their land up to Mexico City. So we sit here and wonder why there's 35 million people in Mexico City when it was just 10 million 20-something years ago. We wonder why there's maquiladores, slave factories all over our border. We wonder why we're overflowed with illegal aliens. Well, they're farmers. I mean, you see these people. They just look like somebody from Texas. You know, you got their cowboy hats, their jeans, their boots. They'll skin a buck. They'll run a trot line. They can basically do anything, fix anything. These are little farmers who lived all over Mexico, just like little farmers in America, being driven off their land. Little families with little pieces of land. Now with the animal ID, premises ID, it's all coming here under the UN biosphere, and they would go at gunpoint. That's why they had all the uprisings all over Mexico. But then the IMF and World Bank came in, the Ford Foundation came in. Even before all this happened, and it already pre-programmed the public there that you rebel against the big banks and the Mexican government by becoming a communist. And then that's controlled opposition. And so you can never actually organize and defeat the globalist. So I'm already digressing here. It's just this is being done all over the world. And Paul's been doing a great job, but we need to chronicle like a big article and you know, cut it off, though, because there's too many examples. Maybe 20 examples of the UN forcing people off their land and killing them. Diego Garcia, Queen of England, wanted to turn it into a U.S.-British base. So they just basically killed a bunch of people and drove off, what was it, 5,000. Burma pops up where they killed, what was it, over 10,000 natives. The UN actually lined them up, shot them, men, women, children. I mean, I could just go on for hours here off the top of my head. UN-sanctioned mass murder operations. They just had the Ivory Coast situation 6 months ago, where it was admitted the UN went in, funded rebels. The rebels killed thousands of people, burned down whole cities, blew up the Capitol building, and the UN took over. And I'll assure you, the Ivory Coast is not going to ship unauthorized gold or diamonds out again. They're like, you think you're going to build up your industry, and you think you're going to allow people to have jobs? There's too much gold. There's too many diamonds. We want to keep the price up. By the way, I get emails going, you know, gold is dirty. Well, everything's dirty. Absolutely. Of course it's dirty. Anything precious is going to have corruption around it. That's why you legalize it, and that takes the corruption out, just like the drug war. If they allowed those mines in Africa that aren't globalist controlled to produce gold, it would drive down the price a little bit. Great. I'm all for that. Now gold, though, is not really artificially scarce. It's being depleted out. Same thing with silver. Silver, really. I mean, there's just incredible demand for that compared to what they've discovered. Silver is the real sleeper. All of the experts that look at it agree. Whether it takes a year or 20 years, it's the bigger sleeper. Now, diamonds are semi-precious. In fact, you've got semi-precious, precious, and then the ultra-precious stones. And diamonds aren't even at the top of semi-precious. They're two-thirds of the way up, but they're not in the top third. They're a little more valuable than agates. The problem is they're geographically isolated. So they're geographically rare. But once you get there, there's just diamonds laying around on the ground in the different deposits. And so they've got hit squads all over the world that hunt people down. And the Oppenheimers, the De Beers outfit, they don't even try to hide this fact. But see, I'm already digressing. I start talking for 30 seconds about the Occupy Wall Street group that the establishment's trying to infiltrate and turn into a pro-austerity group calling for higher taxes on the middle class, which will then be paid to Warren Buffett, George Soros, and others that are tax-exempt and offshore. It's a very simple equation, but I thought I would just digress into the fact that the new modern eugenics, what you could call, for lack of a better word, because really Nazis come out of eugenics, so it's not fair to even call them Nazis, as that's just a certain National Socialist permutation of this. This is the eugenicist global racist extermination arm, and it runs around saying, I'm liberal, I'm liberal. So most people just say, well, slit my throat then. Well, not me. I mean, I understand that just because an army tank is broadcasting, I'm liberal, I'm trendy. I mean, if you put a Rastafarian hairstyle on the top of an army tank running over you, would it be okay? Maybe a tank with rainbow paint on it. And it's like, oh, run over me, you have rainbow paint. We're going to come back, give the phone number out, get into some of the other news, get into Hank Williams Jr.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown.
You know, Van Jones, like the big communist, who Cass Sunstein used to demonize 9/11 truth out of the White House, that was all staged, has come out and endorsed Occupy Wall Street and basically called for tax increases in the re-election of Obama. The big unions admit they are involved, SEIU and others, George Soros, 5 million to MoveOn.org. They admit that they basically have been orchestrating this from the beginning. Well, Biden, we have the clip coming up later. Biden got asked, hey, what do you think of Van Jones, your former energy czar, coming out and, or your former clean energy, green energy czar, to be technical, with all of the different solar panel companies and Democratic Party operatives being given $500 million free government taxpayer gifts. Biden was asked, hey, what do you think about Van Jones, your former green jobs czar, coming out and endorsing the Occupy Wall Street and basically calling for tax increases on the rich? And Biden said, I don't even know who he is. Who's Van Jones? And then the media is marveling, wow, Biden doesn't know who he is? Of course he knows who he is. That's like Rumsfeld on Man Cow earlier this year. And Man Cow says, hey, Building 7, you know, falls in its own footprint, 47-story building. And Rumsfeld says, what's Building 7? I don't know anything about that. And then Mankow starts telling him, and he says, no, I don't know anything about that. Clearly lying. Because if he wasn't lying, he would be asking, well, tell me more about it. This is interesting. But instead, the way he answered it, and then I went and looked it up. He's been on panels and seen reports about Building 7. Of course he knows about Building 7. The head Defense Department building in Manhattan, CIA command base in Manhattan, the second most highly secure Department of Defense building on the East Coast after the Pentagon. Durbin to Bank of America customers, get the heck out of the bank. Holding up a plastic debit card on the Senate floor this afternoon, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois had some advice for Bank of America customers angry about the $5 a month fee. Leave. And he's saying, if you're mad about all this being added, leave. You know, that's a good point. Boycott things you don't agree with. And get out in the streets. If you don't like the fact that MoveOn.org and all these big Democratic Party supporting unions and all these other organizations are running around calling to raise taxes on people making $125,000 a year or more, which will be passed on to people that work for those folks getting pay cuts and people getting fired. And it's already begun with the new health care law. People are just getting their pay cut and they're getting laid off. And the insurance prices have gone up for everybody, as we knew they would. The insurance companies wrote it. Doesn't cover pre-existing conditions. It's going to now cut what treatment Granny can get. Bill Gates admits it's a death panel. Newsweek says, time to kill Granny. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory that there's death panels when they were right there in the bill. And now they admit, oh, yeah, their death panels are a good idea. And Michael Moore doesn't deny there's death panels now that they've got their law. He says, well, it's patriotic to wait for care because he's worth $200 million. But see, if you're mad about all this, you've got to get in the street and you've got to aggressively call in on talk radio and you've got to go to city council because that message goes up to the state and the Fed. You've got to go to the state legislature. You've got to drive to the Capitol during the week on your vacation time. Go in, walk in, get in their face, find out how they voted. We, the people that love freedom, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the true free market, private property, we're going to have to get involved now like never before, or the globalists are going to use the crisis they've created to sell massive austerity. That's how dumb the people that are collectivists are, that are on the gravy train, that are at the trough. As their trough, the amount of slop they're given is cut, they will squeal for higher taxes on the rest of the economy that's still operating while they get their slop cut at the same time. And even when they don't get any more slop, they still don't care because misery loves company. There's just especially in a large portion of people that are failures and who are collectivist and who are dependent types, they hate everybody that's successful. And the bankers know that. And so as long as we're all miserable, they'll be happy. And the globalists are the same way. So if you're tired of this and don't want these people speaking for you, you better occupy the Fed. And it all starts this Friday. Okay, I want to run through some of the other headlines, and then I'll continue to go through that as we go out of break and back into break throughout the rest of the broadcast today. But I do want to open the phones up, at least the first few rounds, to first-time callers today. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. First-time callers, also people that at the end of the show in the last few weeks have been left on hold, you're also welcome to call in. We'd love to hear from you if you had a question or comment and didn't have a chance to get on air with us because of all the guests we've been having on and my long-windedness. I would love to hear from you. It is 800-259-9231. We're on a lot of new AM and FM affiliates across the country. If you're a new listener, including on stations in Canada, this is just a broadcast dedicated to freedom, dedicated to telling it like it is, dedicated to facing the real issues that actually affect our society. There is a global corporate consortium, a cartel, a combine of the Fortune 100 run by six global megabanks and their subsidiaries that openly are establishing a world corporate dictatorship where they write the laws and are exempt from their own laws. They call it the New World Order. And we are here attempting to wake the planet up to it. Instead of just generally protesting Wall Street with all the diverse companies and firms that have actually made this country great, predominantly. We're focusing in on the Federal Reserve private shareholders. We're focusing in on the people that Kennedy tried to take out of power in 1963 with an executive order to begin abolishing the Federal Reserve and to issue U.S. government notes, dollars. We have Federal Reserve dollars. They blew his head off. We are attempting to rally the planet against Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and others that are the private shareholders of the Federal Reserve who have stolen $27-plus trillion of U.S. taxpayer money, more than $25 trillion of other nations' money, where they hold the entire world economy hostage and say, pay us direct taxes to the bankers, they call those bailouts, or we will implode the world economy. But you notice as you give in to them, and as the governments that are positioned and commanded by their alumni in that revolving door out of the central banks into government regulatory positions, and the presidents and prime ministers they finance into power, they're traitors that they've positioned in government are setting up homeland security grids, police state grids in every country they dominate. They're setting up secret police, paramilitary groups to dominate and take our property, our land, our taxes. I mean, I just read to you earlier another article. It's in the New American. It's at Infowars.com. Paul Watson breaks it down and ties it into the Ugandan mass murders by World Bank UN forces last week. I'm tempted to go to Honduras, but they don't care. They would just kill me. But that would get attention on this. You've got to stand up against these UN forces. And they just go in and just line people up, men, women, children, blow their heads off. They don't even bother burying them now. And they say, it's for the earth. I come in peace. And then they blast you. As long as you say it's loving UN liberalism, then it's all fine. And we're all going under this system. And the UN was created by the big mega banks, created by the Pentagon, created by the Department of Defense in 1945 here in the United States. Not because America's bad, but because America got hijacked by this group. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. I'd love to hear from you. But I was thinking this morning about the difference between one-dimensional thinking, two-dimensional thinking, three-dimensional thinking, four-dimensional thinking, and five-dimensional thinking. We can only really engage in five-dimensional thinking when we're asleep. I don't want to get into all the complex permutations of that system, but the brain is powerful. Most people naturally engage in two-dimensional thinking. But as you get older, you learn the third dimension. A poor, sweet little mentally retarded, mentally handicapped child who's 5 years old generally thinks that a drawing of a bird is a bird. But a five-year-old who has a normal brain development, average brain development, would know if you told him, hey, the bird's tweeting, the bird's going to bite you, joking with them, they would say, that's not real. A two-year-old, a three-year-old would say that. But not a mentally retarded child. Most of them would not be able to tell. And the public has been put into a trance to keep you in really two-dimensional thinking. To where, basically, if the government shows you the image of a charging rhinoceros on TV, a lot of people are in suspended disbelief and basically allow their subconscious mind and even their conscious mind to see the charging rhinoceros as if it's real. And humans can artificially put themselves into really a two-dimensional mode of thinking. I'm trying to get people to live in the third dimension. That's where we live. We're able to calculate out to the fourth, even fifth dimension. Some quantum physicist even higher. If you really get your mind around this and these ideas and systems. But here's a simple example of third dimensional thinking, and then I'll get to some news in your calls, versus two-dimensional thinking. Webster Tarpley was on InfoWars Nightly News last night. We had a good back and forth discussion. And he, of course, has said the euro was set up by the mega banks to consolidate Europe. And that's what they admit. That's a fact. And it's an undemocratic dictatorship of this private bureaucracy that is positioned by the big mega banks that's now setting up a pure dictatorship of the banking cartel, where the EU has the member countries sign over all of their national sovereignty and agree to circumvent even the will of their people to that authority. So even if the Germans or the French or anybody else votes to get out, they're saying you can't now. You are actually occupied through the euro, which is the political power, by the financial power that sits above it. And that now is publicly promoted on Bloomberg, CNBC, Wall Street Journal. They say tyranny is what will save your pension funds in Europe and the U.S. Getting rid of the Constitution is what will save it. You see it in Newsweek and Time. And so they're dispensing now with even the talk of, you know, this is to prop up people's welfare and the social safety net. They're going right to telling the middle class, go along with the tyranny and you'll still get your pension funds and your 401k and your stocks. Of course, you won't. They're setting that up to then steal all that from you as well. But a coward, when a bully faces them, will think, well, if I get down and let you spit on me and let you squat on me, then maybe it'll be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. By increment, we have basically been rolled in to servitude. Now, let me just briefly give you two-dimensional versus third-dimensional. About 7 a.m. this morning, I go over to Infowars.com. Kurt Nemo's already posted last night's Infowars Nightly News that PrisonPlanet.tv viewers watched live and saw archived in higher quality. It's already posted to our YouTube channel. And I go and I see some of the comments. And I see a commenter on there saying, look at Tarpley and Jones contradicting themselves. They're saying that, you know, the euro's bad, but that the globalists want to destroy the euro now and that we've got to keep the euro together. You know, which is it? Is the euro bad or is the euro good? They don't understand. It doesn't matter who builds a fortress. Just because the Romans build a fortress on the southern coast of Spain and then the Moors come across after the Roman Empire falls and they take half of Spain and they take that fortress and then later the Christians drive the Muslims out, the Moors out, and take over that fortress. It's a fortress, like a gun or a car. It doesn't have a brain. It doesn't breathe. It doesn't think. It's neutral. It's like a hill. An enemy's coming. You try to get your force on top the hill because it's better defended. And your enemy's got to come uphill against you. Again. And again, this is so simple. This is so incredibly simple, but it's also hard for people to be able to grasp two-dimensional versus three-dimensional. And that's why, well, I'll get to another example here in a moment. Of one-dimensional versus two-dimensional that just popped in my head by analyzing the public. So, the globalist on record 53 years ago, 54 years ago now, through the Treaty of Rome, established the European Union through a trade deal. They tell the slaves that they've done it publicly in 2000. But when they had the 50th anniversary in 2007, they celebrated in all the EU member states 50 years of the European Union. And the Bilderberg Group members came out and made statements to the BBC, hey, we covertly set this up. Isn't it great? We're doing this in North America as well, and Asia, and Africa. They don't conquer you now with a military that rolls over, you know, the hill on you. They conquer you by getting their people into your government, paid off, to sign you over to a, quote, trade deal that isn't really a trade deal. It's the end of your sovereignty. And they get you to sign on to all of these debts that you don't owe and to all these derivatives. Then they hold your country hostage because your finance minister lies to you and says that you owe it when you don't even owe, you know, less than 10% of it. The rest is all derivatives garbage that's impossible to pay off, by the way. You know, they spring the trap when it's impossible to pay off. It's all fiat. And, I mean, this is so important. I know I'm getting academic here, but I want people to really get their mind around this. So, the euro was set up to get countries to give up their sovereignty without knowing it, to get them tied into debts they don't owe. And now the bankers are ready to fully implode the euro itself and set up a new system above it where the countries totally waive all their rights and the euro waives its collective right into this financial dictatorship. And even the Daily Mail and Reuters and others call it a financial dictatorship. But guys, pull that up. Europe going under financial dictatorship or new EU system, Fourth Reich. I mean, you'll see the London Guardian, I mean, even having to admit that. Totally dictatorial. And so what Tarpley's saying is they set the euro up as a scaffolding to build this tyranny around it. Now they want to implode that old system to fully consolidate it with a wrecking ball and basically scoop it up into a total tyranny. So Tarpley's saying now the wolf pack of the banks want to fully destroy that government system because it still is tied to the and its authority is tied to the national sovereignty of the unit pieces. Not states get together to be stronger. That was what it was originally, you know, the selling point. Now the globals are trying to implode it to go to the next system. So Tarpley's saying use the euro to stand against the bankers and don't let them destroy it to bring it into the next level. Because he understands they're not planning to destroy the euro and, oh, it's a setback for the New World Order, as some have said, when in reality this was their plan to wreck the North American Union once they're done with it, the European Union, the Asian Union, and say the system didn't work and bring it in to this Bank of the World. I mean, that was the plan since 1975 with the Trilateral Commission. I've been on air more than 16 years telling you this day was coming. They'd set up three unions, bankrupt those, then offer the solution of this private corporate world government you pay your VAT and sales taxes to. I didn't know it'd be a carbon tax 16 years ago, but a little bit after that, they announced that as well. So Tarpley says, don't let them implode the euro. That's their plan. There's the bonds of those countries. They're still solvent. They want to fully destroy it now because they're done with that phase, and they don't want them to ever be able to get financially stable again. And people say, well, then which is it? Is the euro good or is it bad? No. At this key phase where the globalists are ready now to implode it, you need to occupy it and use its mechanisms to block them fully from imploding the sovereignty of the countries. Because the new system they're going to is completely dictatorial. So see, that's three-dimensional thinking versus two-dimensional thinking. And I don't even know if I 100% even agree with Tarpley on that, but I see his point that that's what the globalists want. That's their strategy. That's where this is going. And they hold everybody hostage saying the euro will collapse unless you sign on to this new authority, which actually creates a new super euro run by private banks. But in that plan, they want to fully bankrupt the old euro. And no matter how many times you bail out Greece or bail out Portugal or Spain or any of these countries, you're not really bailing out those countries. See, that's a two-dimensional versus three-dimensional. People that go off one and two dimensions mentally, you tell them, oh, the bankers want to save our country. And so you just believe what the news says instead of actually analyzing what it really is. Just because something says it's apple pie in a box doesn't mean it's apple pie. You could have a bunch of screwdrivers in an apple pie box. You could have a bunch of spiders in there. You could have a bunch of horse manure in there. You could have diamonds in there. Packaging doesn't necessarily mean what's actually in there. That's three-dimensional thinking. And then I see comments on there like, why isn't Alex Jones covering Fast and Furious? I saw that on one of the videos. And I probably COINTELPRO because I saw it posted on all the videos. Even though we've been talking about Fast and Furious for 6 years, intensely for three, telling you they're shipping guns all over the U.S., not just Mexico, and allowing Sinaloa and others to ship cocaine in. And now everything Celica Steel and others told us here on air 5, 6 years ago has been confirmed. and is in the news. But see, with a one-dimensional thinker, or even two-dimensional, you could say, when they go to my site and they don't see the front page talking about Fast and Furious today, I'm not covering Fast and Furious. And so from a childlike way, that's a way to kind of feel good about somebody with a radio show, with a TV show, is to say, hey, this guy isn't doing a good job. I, the YouTube viewer, I have a very high moral standard. I have great value. You know, look at the NASCAR champion. He made a wrong turn and crashed. I can backseat drive and say they're bad and say that person is a terrible driver. See, it's all how people look at the world. I try to look at it like a prism through all the different fractals and angles. All right, we're hitting the news. Full hour of calls coming up. We'll get into Hank Williams Jr. getting fired off Monday Night Football. Stay with us. All right, your calls are coming up throughout the entire next hour. And I'm going to get into Putin. Vladimir Putin is calling for a Eurasian Union. See, this is the 21st century form of tyranny. They don't have the Russians pour in and just take over your country or finance a rebellion and the Russians pour in to help the uprising in Romania or Czechoslovakia, which, you know, they broke into the Czech Republic and other areas today. That's what the UN's doing. They have rebels they fund, start killing everybody. Then NATO comes in. That's kind of the West adopting Soviet models. No, they just come in and pay off your politicians, promise them deals, and have your politicians sign you into a deal to go back under the new Soviet Union. But you don't call it the Soviet Union. You call it the Eurasian Union. And see, the arguments they have in places like Russia to do this, I'm not defending it, is, well, NATO's coming in and taking over all their old satellites, so they've got to do this. So that's this mindset of expand or die. Take over more areas, dominate everybody, or you're going to get dominated. The people of Eastern Europe and Southern Europe and Central Asia need to demand their own sovereignty. See, sovereignty is a firewall against global government and big empires. States inside our country are a firewall against tyranny. Because if one state gets corrupt, you can go to the other. Then everybody will just leave that corrupt state. It creates real diversity. But if you have one big central federal government, well, it goes bad, it's all over. National sovereignty and sub-sovereignty within states is a natural firewall against tyranny. Start thinking in a three-dimensional or even four-dimensional way. I mean, all of you out there promoting open borders, the globalists, the big mainstream TV, who you know doesn't have your best interest at heart, is telling you have the borders wide open. And never pointing out the hypocrisy that American citizens get treated like garbage in Mexico, and you don't go there and ask for welfare. You don't go there and say, I'm an American, my wife's about to have a baby, pay for everything. They would laugh at you. It's part of making sure Mexico never becomes free. If we'd have made 30 million people stay down there, there'd have been a real revolution, and Mexico probably would be better off today. But instead, America can be used as a political steam valve. See, that's three- or four-dimensional thinking. That's wargaming things out. That's seeing it in a more complex view, not just, oh, well, people are bashing Obama and I'm a Democrat, so, you know, Obama must be good. Or people are bashing Republicans who are Democrats and I'm a Republican, so, again, just because Democrats attack somebody doesn't mean they're good if you're a conservative. Or just because people attack Obama, who are, quote, conservative, doesn't mean Obama's good. That's part of the theater. That's part of the garbage. That's part of keeping you partisan. Now, when do you know somebody's good? When the whole system tries to ignore them, and when they're forced to cover them, they attack them. And you've seen MSNBC and Fox attack Ron Paul. You've seen him get the least amount of speaking time in all the events. You've seen Ron Paul shafted over and over again and demonized and lied about. There is your illustration right there. But you don't just trust him because of that. You go and look at his voting record. You go and look at the fact that he's never compromised when it comes to the Constitution. And then you understand he's going after the real enemy, the Federal Reserve. And I want to tell you, if you're angry about the New World Order taking over our society, you don't have any excuse. I am calling for people nationwide this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, pick a date, to pick one of the 12 Federal Reserve banks in the country or one of its substations and to go to it. The head Federal Reserve Bank for Region 11 of 12 regions is Dallas, Texas. I'm going to be there this Friday, 6 p.m. The address is on InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yeah, will you guys launch the phone call system for me? For whatever reason, it's not up here for me to be able to actually even tell who the calls are. We'll go to your phone calls here in a moment. We are now into the second hour of this worldwide broadcast. I normally wouldn't get into a diversion like this, but it's not a diversion because it's very informative about political correctness and the chilling of free speech in this country. ESPN has pulled Hank Williams Jr., who I'm a big fan of, even bigger fan of his dad, from the Monday Night Football opening that's been there for 20 years. Are you ready for some football? So we're going to be breaking that down and actually playing the clip and analyzing it. From what I get from the clip, he was basically going after Boehner and Obama and saying they're all part of the problem. And I think that's why they went after him. He was comparing, that it's two opposites. It's like Hitler and Netanyahu. From his perspective, that's polar opposites playing golf together, that Boehner and Obama play golf. And he's saying Obama's the enemy. I'd love to be able to talk to somebody like Hank Williams Jr. I know Hank Williams III is a few years ago contacted us and said he likes the show. Then I tried to get him on, and he's like, well, I better not get political. I've thought about it. I'm not going to now. And I see comments here by him. It says, Hank Williams Jr.'s son, my dad should not talk politics. And he went on to say the only musician who's smart enough, basically, is Jello Biafra. By the way, Jello Biafra contacted us. He's been on before a few years ago and said he'd like to come on, and for some reason it never happened. And these guys contact you, and then you try to get them on, and there's bureaucracy, and I just don't have time for it. But I do want to get Jello Biafra on. We've played his martial law rant before that I think's pretty good about checkpoints in the U.S. So I've interviewed him a few times on radio and in person. So I want to get him back on. And let's get Hank Williams III on. He's a talented guy. I like his country music more than his punk rock stuff. He looks just like his... The third looks just like Hank Williams I. Look at that, man. That is... If you know what Hank Williams Sr. looked like, that looks just like him. Hank Williams III looks just like Granddaddy. In fact, let's come back in with... move over... Little dogs and new dogs, fat dogs moving in. That is Saturday morning breakfast cooking music in my house for about 10 years as the Hank Williams Jr. and my three-year-old dances around to it, does this instinctive hillbilly dance. It looks like a cross between a hillbilly dance and a hula dance. I don't know. Side issue, I'll get to that after I take a bunch of your phone calls. And this whole Russia, Putin says he wants to build Eurasian Union. The globalists are launching their revolution. If you don't like what Wall Street and the big banks have done to you, raise taxes and pay it to them in austerity money. That'll sure show them. I don't want to shortchange Matt, Scott, Axel, Greg, Tim, and others. I'm going to go directly to you on the other side of this quick break that is coming up. You know, I'm so busy with the nightly news, and I'm so busy producing the nightly news and directing the nightly news, and I've got a limited staff, and I've sent Jacobson up to New York reporting up there for us. And I've got other folks reporting in different parts of the country that I'm basically giving orders to armies that don't exist. But we need to get some promo videos out mañana at the latest. Of course, you know, mañana always turns into next week and the next month. We need to get them out today promoting the movement to occupy the private Federal Reserve. And I'm telling you, people will go. I think Dallas is the place to go, and our listeners have spoken. In Texas, we're going to go all three places, Houston, San Antonio. Houston, Saturday at noon, San Antonio, 10 a.m. But Dallas is the kickoff, and that's the one that needs to be occupied. People need to stay there.
So get it on over.
Move it on over.
Scoot it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, skinny dog, cause the fat dog's moving in. This dog house here is mighty small, but it's better than no house at all. So ease it on over.
All right, that's Hank Williams.
Drag it on over.
Coming up after I take a bunch of your phone calls, his son fired off Monday Night Football for comparing Obama to Hitler. But really, he just compared him to polar opposites of the Republican Party, which isn't really true. You know, that's the thing. Continuing wars, continuing torture, continuing banker bailouts, continuing running scams. This is pretty much the same. I mean, Rick Perry supported Hillary Care. A lot of Republicans have supported carbon taxes. Mitt Romney. Newt Gingrich. But all I hear about is how great and conservative they are. So I don't agree with Hank Williams Jr. that Obama is a polar opposite from Boehner. But it doesn't matter. It's his right to say it, and I guess it's Monday Night Football's right to fire him, but and ESPN that runs that. But ESPN, I mean, this is like a American icon. And they're using it for government propaganda and TSA brainwashing and TSA indoctrination and Big Sis at all the big games telling us trust no one but her while she ships the guns to Mexico and the cocaine in. By the way, that video is up on Infowars.com, and I wanted to briefly mention that. It's titled Exposing Internal Checkpoints, nightly news report, Sunday driving back from South Padre in the U.S., 99.3 miles from the border. Because they're allowed under federal regulations, policy, not law, they claim that they're allowed to set up internal checkpoints and search every car with a drug dog. They open the door, stick the dog in. And my kids saw the checkpoint as we sat there in traffic for 5 minutes, and they did not want me to have a confrontation with them, as they've seen before at another checkpoint, another type of checkpoint. And they were saying they were scared and stuff. And so I didn't really get in their face. I just said, oh, sure, I don't mind if you search and violate my Fourth Amendment. Then I opened the door and said, you're violating my Fourth Amendment. So I was being flippant with the guy. I was actually going to tell him I do not allow you to, and he backed off at that point. But I was trying to take the middle road there so that my children would not be horrified. But at the same time, I've got to stand up against corruption or they have no future. And we pretty much unedited put the video up there. The only part we fade down is the age of my children when he asked that. And it's so asinine. You know, oh, we just want to know if you're American citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, they were sticking a drug dog, having people open their car doors and sticking the drug dog in there to look for drugs. And I told the guy, I said, I don't deal drugs like the U.S. government. And I see commenters on here. A lot of them are like, great job, Alex. That's how you do it. But others are... couldn't have said it better myself. I suspect something. Alex caved in. What the bleep? Alex caved in when I got in their face and said, you're not bringing your drug dog on here, and they didn't. I mean, I could have gone crazier with them, but I tried to control myself. They told me not to videotape them, and I said, I'm going to videotape them. Have you seen what's happened to Pastor Anderson and others where they slammed his head in the concrete repeatedly for videotaping him? I was with my three children, two of them little girls, and I think I did a moderate job It's a little different when you got little kids with you. But I love it. People who weren't in the arena, they get to be the big men and call me a coward. Because it's just mind if I search, and I go, oh, no, I don't mind if you violate my Fourth Amendment. And you hear my wife going, why are you going to let him? And I'm like, no, as I go over to the door to open it for him and you know, talk to him. Because it's a bus, an old bus, so it only has one door. And I said, no, I'm making the point he's violating my Fourth Amendment. And I said, oh, you're here to violate my Fourth Amendment. And he backed off. And I've dealt with a lot of military cop types. If you sit there and 100% get in their face, it doesn't work. And if you grovel, it doesn't work. You've got to be mainly sarcastic with them, but in a controlled way. Like, oh, yeah, you really care about me. You know the government deals the drugs, and the guy smiles because they know that. They all know it's all over the Texas papers, Houston Chronicle, El Paso Times, you name it, that the U.S. government's shipping in the majority of the narcotics and being caught doing it. And that's what's so outrageous. I talked to Hispanic friends of mine, Hispanic folks that work in this office, and they were all like, oh, yeah. When you're Hispanic, they just wave you on through because there's so many illegals pouring across 100 miles up on that major highway. They've got them on all the major highways. It's ridiculous. You never hear about them grabbing illegals at these. And so if you're Hispanic, they think, well, you might be illegal because that's about 80% of the illegals. They just let you on through. Now, I have been told if you're Arab or Asian, look out. Sometimes they will drag you off, even if you're a citizen and don't have the proof of it. It's all about drugs, as evidenced by our video. Here's another one. Ha, 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 that's the way to handle it. Alex, you caved in and answered their questions. Why? Because under federal regulations, that's an internal port checkpoint, and I did not want my children all drug off to freak them out. And so when he said, okay, I'm not going to come on, he backed off. I could tell with the Border Patrol guy. He went, all right, just tell me how many are in here. I could tell that was a little compromise. And I said, okay, there's three children, my wife, and the driver. Okay. He said, all right, shut the door. So I guess I'm the bad man. And I'm the bad man, too. This week, I'm going to be up in Dallas, 6 p.m., Federal Reserve, one of the main headquarters of the 12. Then they have evil satellites down in Houston, San Antonio. I'll be at San Antonio, 12 noon, Saturday. Sunday, I'll be, I'm getting it all backwards. I'm going to be Friday, 6 p.m., Dallas, Federal Reserve, main branch, for 2 hours, 6 to 8, a little after dark. Gets dark about 8. And then I'm going to be in Houston, high noon, Federal Reserve Bank, for 2 hours, giving a speech and talking to folks. Please be there. And then Sunday, 10 to noon, because we got to get back up here and do the Sunday show, 4 to 6, I'm going to be 10 to noon, San Antonio, Federal Reserve. It is so imperative that you call local talk radio, that you call national news, that you call newspapers, and you say, hey, the end of the Fed's been going on for 4 years and getting ignored. This is not just go after Wall Street and capitalism, which is a red herring. The bankers want to get rid of their competition and have crony capitalism. We're going after the real power structure. I need your help. I need your help to get the word out. Now, if you want the communists to represent change in this country and take control of the revolution against the bankers and let them redirect all of that towards raising your taxes, don't come out to the events this weekend. And again, send us emails. Tell us about you're in the Fed group or libertarian group or whatever group you are. If you want to go after the bankers that finance the war machine, the whole nine yards, you want to go after the heart of the matter, the folks that have gotten the $27 trillion in bailout money, it's the Federal Reserve. That's why we were out there in 2008, 2009, 2010 protesting them. We're going to be there. And we need your help. We're all in this together. And wherever you are in the country, go to your Federal Reserve branch bank. Also, we've seen people occupying, going into the lobbies, or bare minimum, going out and sitting in their front yards of Bank of America's, J.P. Morgan's, Goldman Sachs's. They've all been caught engaged in criminal activity, taking houses they don't own, lying in court saying they own them, robo-signing. They need to be occupied. So I'm calling Friday also people across the country. If you want to actually do something, Wall Street, that's a red herring. It's just like oh, every company in America, they're saying is bad, the free market's bad. No, no, no. The mega banks want to shut down their competition. We're going to go directly to culprits with names like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, laundering the drug money and getting caught, Go after them. Draw attention that they're the ones that are bad. That's the real Occupy the New World Order. Take back America. Take back the world. No to austerity. What are our demands? We want to abolish the Federal Reserve. We want to start with an audit, a real audit of the Federal Reserve. We're already learning where the tens of trillions went. We want the insiders from Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and others that run the Federal Reserve and the Treasury in a revolving door, we want them investigated by state grand juries. We want them indicted for all the different crimes they've publicly committed, giving themselves, in some cases, hundreds of millions in bailout money directly to themselves, like Henry Paulson. We want arrest, prosecutions, and convictions. Ladies and gentlemen, I am definitely crossing the Rubicon on this one. I'm going directly up against the banksters. They've put out their announcements that they're tracking U.S. citizens everywhere that are criticizing them as an intimidation tactic in cyberspace. They're marking everybody down, making a list who supports them and who doesn't. They've hired tens of thousands of lobbyists to hit counties and cities and rotary clubs and high schools and colleges. They're sitting in Federal Reserve representatives like Herman Cain to tell you how great they are. They know they're in trouble. They've miscalculated. It's us or them. They're not giving us quarter. And as a man who loves my family, as a man who loves liberty, I must face them down. Will we defeat them this weekend? No. But our resistance in the end will. This is another battle in the war. Who wants it the most is going to win it. You have no excuses when they take over the opposition and raise your taxes and shut down more factories if you don't go out and identify the real enemy. If you let George Soros, the Democratic Party, play the part of the opposition when they are Wall Street, the corrupt elements of it, and misdirect it into austerity and new taxes to pay them government welfare and banker bailouts, you get what you deserve. Neil Bortz is not going to tell you to protest the Fed. He'll tell you they're great. Rush Limbaugh ain't going to tell you about it. Glenn Beck is started to tell a little bit about it and got fired off Fox. So you got to give him his due on that. You actually got to, the Tides Foundation is behind this Wall Street junk too. And Beck called that. So Beck's not quite as bad. The point is, you got to call on Hannity and all the rest of them to tell the truth. Okay, look, the Federal Reserve isn't backing off. It's scorched earth. There's no quarter. They're not just trying to enslave us. They want to fully take over. We've got to face them down. They want to bring in austerity here. So you better be at the demonstrations nationwide.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Okay, I'm going to shut up now and take calls for the rest of the hour, interspersed with some Hank Williams coverage. I haven't even gotten to that yet. Let's go ahead and talk to Matt in Nebraska. Matt, thank you for holding.
Thank you, Alex. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Welcome.
Good. Hey, just a few things. Omaha has a Federal Reserve branch, and I would like to have Nebraskans go out there and protest, too. Help you with the, and the Fed.
Exactly. There are Campaign for Liberty groups everywhere. There are libertarians and people that are aware of how the world really works, not dumbed down Republicans or dumbed down Democrats. And it's time to reach out to those dumbed out groups. I would send emails to all the liberal groups, conservative groups, everybody, and just invite everyone, say, hey, there's a demonstration against the Federal Reserve. They're the real insiders that got all the bailout money. They're the problem. Be there. This Saturday afternoon, pick a time, be there. And even if five people show up, it will draw attention. The local news media will come and we will start identifying the real issue. But in many areas, there's going to be hundreds of people. And we need to continue the next weekend to demonstrate against them. But I'm telling you, I'm calling for the Dallas Fed, if people believe in this, to occupy it. And I don't mean even their private Federal Reserve property, because even though they're criminals, and even though they masquerade as a federal agency, we don't want to, disrespect property rights, but there's a big sidewalk around it, big park area around the Dallas Fed. It's perfect. It's time to occupy it. Occupy it. And get thousands of people at the Dallas Fed. In fact, the more I think about it, that's the place for everybody to converge. We'll do the sub stops as well. But everybody needs to be there this Friday, 6:00 Dallas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Mississippi, Louisiana, New Mexico, wherever you are, Colorado, come to that Dallas event for 2 hours. Then I'm going to get in the bus and drive to the next town to get at the media attention. I'll be doing special transmissions at prisonplanet.tv. It'll also be on the audio streams off and on from the road the entire weekend. I do it the whole time, but I've got to have IT people here to run it, and they got to have some time off. I'll be all over the place. I cannot stress how important it is that then people stay there. And if you get a few thousand people there, and then folks agree to kind of rotate in and out, it will get so much attention, more people will show up, and it'll go on for weeks. Occupy the Dallas Federal Reserve. I'll guarantee you, phones are ringing at the Pentagon. Phones are ringing at the White House right now. This is scaring them, Matt. We need your help. And then, yes, Campaign for Liberty. I haven't called them, but if you're a Campaign for Liberty contributor, you should let them know what your thoughts are. And I would imagine that's Campaign for Liberty. And Ron Paul has said we need to be protesting the Fed. He said it on CNN and MSNBC and Fox in the last 3 days. He's thinking the same way I am. We have got to go after the real people and protest them, not capitalism and private property rights, as if that's what's making America fall apart. Insider corruption teamed up with government is what's allowing this. So Dallas, occupy the Fed. I want to see thousands out there. This is so exciting. I need everybody's help. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Hey, and then another thing on people that think their First Amendment's not being taken away. This made national headlines in Fremont, Nebraska. ACLU is getting involved. They banned a sixth grader girl from wearing a rosary to school.
Yes, and now not just in that school, but in others. I mentioned it earlier. They're saying the cross itself is not allowed because of separation of church and state. But then they're going to let any other religious group have their symbols. It's just Christianity being targeted, and that's your individual person. It's part of your religion, and now they're saying that, I've seen the school handout. They had it online this morning. It's any necklace with a cross or beads on it. Well, I mean, so now if gang members wear red baseball caps, you can't wear those in public. Or now if gang members wear Reebok tennis shoes, or if gang members drive black Mercedes, you can't drive a black Mercedes. This is all about making us all guilty.
And then, can I make a comment about Bill O'Reilly? I know you talked about this for about 5 years, that OnStar ballot tracks you, and then they're taking it to court after you even canceled the program.
Yes.
It's funny how Bill O'Reilly takes 2 minutes of fame and say he's the one who pulled the plug on OnStar, and it was actually people like you and the other groups that support you and everything else.
Well, we have more listeners and viewers than Bill O'Reilly. Conservatively, 10 million people watch us a week alone on YouTube. That's one platform. Upwards of 3 million a day now on AM and FM, Sirius XM, and Global Shortwave. And that's conservative, 3 million a day. Over 1 million views on InfoWars and Prison Planet combined a day. You know, top Drudge links. He's a legend in his own mind. But I'm glad that Bill O'Reilly would actually do something good for a change instead of promoting value-added taxes and sales taxes and austerity and calling that conservative. Good. Let him take credit for exposing OnStar. Good. Let him. I don't care as long as they're not doing it. We'll be right back. I'm watching right now, and while we take some calls, I'll have Jaron roll the video in the background for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. If you go to InfoWars.com, the headline is Exposing Internal Checkpoints, Nightly News Report. And I'd forgotten that 100 miles into the Texas border on every major road now, they've added a bunch of them. They got them all over the country, Vermont, you name it. They've got these checkpoints, and they were bringing drug dogs onto every vehicle. In the lane that we were directed into. And I went over and, you know, had a camera up in the front of the RV, and they came over and said, turn it off. And I said, no, it's my First Amendment. And then the other guy came over and said, mind if I search? And it's like a trick question. You say, no, like, no, you're not going to search. And then I make the sarcastic comment, no, I don't mind if you violate my Fourth Amendment. My wife's like, you're going to let him on? I'm like, no, I'm being sarcastic. I open the door up and I say, oh, you're going to violate my Fourth Amendment, because they're armed guys with guns. I'm saying I'm not consenting, but I'm not going to resist them so they can tase me. Have you seen how many videos there are from these internal checkpoints with Pastor Anderson and others where they say, turn your camera off, and he won't? So they drag him out and bash his head open and taser him over and over again. And I was going to have more of a confrontation, but you can hear one of my daughters go, I'm scared. And so I just didn't want to give them the scene they wanted. I think I handled it just right. And I know the crew thought it was great. Richard, you know, thought I handled it just right. But I'd like people to go onto the YouTube channel and give me your comment. They asked him if he was a citizen, and he answered yes. All right, telling off the man, Alex, you're the best. Treasonous bleepers. They shame us all. Laugh out loud at anyone that listens to Jones and takes any of his baloney. He moans on about seriously. And he goes on to say, I'm a hillbilly. You can't sue bleep, Alex, if you waive your rights. You have no lawsuit. I didn't waive my rights. Can't believe you told him it was okay to come in your vehicle, and your wife is actually the one who asked you what in the world you were doing, letting them come in. I didn't let them in. He said, mind if I come on in? And I said, no, meaning it's a trick question. And I saw him start running around. I went, oh, no, I don't mind if you violate my Fourth Amendment, being sarcastic. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm being sarcastic. And then I went and said, oh, you're going to violate my Fourth Amendment. Continues here. I live in the UK and the cops here will back right off. You start talking about your rights. I personally think your approach was rather appropriate, since if you started shouting at them, getting in their face, they would tase you and arrest you in front of your family. They are not the real enemy anyways. It's the illegitimate Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, and not a few fluoride head ex-military police thugs out to hurt people. And my experience is a lot of the military guys actually know what's going on. I mean, 75% of all military donations last election, now it's 76% this election, are to Ron Paul. So that really illustrates that more and more they know what's going on. And my issue was their cover is the U.S. citizen thing. Their cover is the U.S. citizen issue. They're really looking for drugs of cowboys that aren't paying their cut. That's what government calls people that don't launder it through U.S. banks. They call them cowboys. Okay, let's go back to your calls. Again, thank you for holding. Let's go ahead here and talk to Alex in Washington. Alex, welcome. Axel.
Yeah, Axel. hi, Alex. I like your show. Did you see the front page Drudge Report where $6 is talking about you donate $5 to them and they're going to send it to a fund to where they loan it to small businesses?
No, I didn't see the Drudge Report. Be specific. I mean, I did see it, but I didn't see the article you're talking about. What specifically are they saying?
Well, the article was saying that Starbucks is what they're going to roll out as a campaign November 1st to have everybody donate or ask people to donate $5 to their foundation. Their foundation is then going to take it and they're going to loan it to or give it to a financial institution so that way they can loan it to small businesses. The question that I have that comes up immediately on this is, well, so if it's a loan, so who gets the $5 when it gets paid back?
Look, it is, look, the mega, this is all just part of total disinformation, but people are going to pile in to do this because yuppies believe in the system. They believe in trendiness. They like to call a small coffee a tall. They like to call a medium a grande. They like it. And so it creates the illusion that big banks don't have money to loan small companies. Big banks are more flush with liquid cash. They've been sitting on the tens of trillions of bailout money, and I haven't seen that report. Will you guys print that? Starbucks to take donations to give to banks to loan back. I mean, this sounds like classic globalist activity. And then, yeah, then loan it back at interest when the banks are already getting at lower than 0% government taxpayer money. I mean, the banks are already getting our taxpayer money and then refusing to loan it out. And now they're saying, give money. And then Starbucks, this big globalist Illuminati company. There it is. Starbucks to begin collecting donations to stimulate U.S. job growth. And sure enough, it says, wow, print that for me. Sure enough, it says give $5 to them or more. And that it will create a bank to then loan it out. Boy, I tell you. That is just incredible. Jaron says he's printing it now, but it was actually in my economy stack. I must have missed it earlier. Sir, what's your take on this?
Well, it occurs to me that if people are concerned about getting businesses more money, you know, it'd be far more efficient to just walk into your local small business and give them $5.
It'd be much better to go buy their products. It'd be much better to call to cut their taxes.
Exactly. That's exactly right. They'd be far better off doing something like that than they would be donating it to Starbucks to go to a foundation that's gonna give it to give it away in the form of a loan, which just seems ridiculous.
No, but instead what they're doing is the idea is a big mega corporation like Slavebucks putting all these local businesses out of business, engaging in all this manipulation. Putting all this Illuminati symbolism all over everything, they're going to collect your money, and then they'll have a bank loan it back to you. When, again, the banks are refusing to loan to small businesses, even when they have good credit. And if they do, it's at high interest rates. This is asinine. This is completely asinine and ridiculous, and I cannot believe that this is actually happening.
It's something else. Another thing on the Occupy the Federal Reserve, if there's not one in the area, I was thinking about this. What if everybody did what Herman Cain suggested on Friday, is to call the Federal Reserve and ask them questions? That was his suggestion.
Now you're being sarcastic now, of course, because they, if you go on their property, they have security guards come out and try to threaten you. They try to say no cameras, and then they'll try to put their hands on their guns. And I'm going up there Friday, and last time I was there, they were kissing our rump because they didn't want to get any attention on themselves in the media. When you're by yourself, though, they'll try to intimidate you. So it's going to be a piece of cake with all of us there in solidarity. But you're right. We should start flooding all the Federal Reserve banks with daily phone calls, letting them know that we're aware that they are the hijackers of the government, that they are the enemy.
Well, ask them where the money went. Ask them to define what a dollar is. I mean, Bernanke won't even define what a dollar is. A dollar is apparently what a dollar will buy. Well, is he talking about a 1910 dollar, or is he talking about a dollar in 2011? It's the same issue I had with Roseanne Barr when she said we'll put a salary cap on everybody at $100 million. Well, what's a dollar? I mean, we haven't even defined that, defined our terms yet. So, is $100 million in 1910 valuation, or is $100 million valued today? Not only that, I mean, it seems ridiculous to put a cap on a CEO when they can have an expense account with $1 billion a year and have a salary of a dollar a year. I mean, it just seems kind of like a fake statement.
Look, the big mega banks and the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gateses running around, they've put their hundreds of billions in tax-free foundations where only the profit, quote, goes to the UN or to the sterilization program, and so that then that makes their entire operation tax-free, then they have profit through the subsidiaries. It's all a giant money laundering operation that's hidden in plain view. Just like the Sherman Antitrust Act, if you actually study it, created the illusion of competition, but then of the 12 big oil companies, the Rockefeller still owned 10 of them, and were actually able to jack up prices. And so that's all they're doing. They got Warren Buffett prancing around, a guy that pays zero taxes, saying, who helped pass the loopholes where he is exempt, saying it's not fair, I don't pay any taxes, passed the Obama tax increase plan that hits the middle class. I appreciate your call. By the way, now reading this is a UN Development Fund type deal. The Seattle-based coffee chain is collaborating with Opportunity Finance Network, a nonprofit that works directly with 200 community development financial institutions to provide loans to small businesses and community groups. Now, I'm going from memory here, but I believe this is a group connected into the Soros group of foundations, and that they give it to like sustainable groups and art groups. That's another way they finance organizations that kind of put out globalist propaganda. And so you'll have all these well-meaning Starbucks yuppies that are as dumb as the day is long. I drink Starbucks sometimes, folks, and I can't sleep for 2 days or something in it. I mean, I can drink any other coffee. There's something going on with Starbucks coffee. Everybody knows that. Somebody needs to get that and have a high-tech lab analyze it. Let me call Paul Watson because he's the man for this job. Let's see if he answers his phone here. Maybe I should just dial him on air and get him on here. A lot of times in the morning, I'll have a brainstorm for about 20 minutes with Paul, and I text him some points, and then he goes and does the research off my memory and his own research. And then we put out these great articles that he deploys. Hey, Watson. Hey, have you seen this Starbucks to begin collecting donations to stimulate U.S. job growth, CBS News report? Okay, so it's perfect timing. I'm calling you live on air right now. You're not on. I called you on my globalist satellite tracker cancer unit, which, by the way, they're now putting on the phones coming out in California that it can cause cancer. They always tell you once it's ubiquitous, once it's part of daily life, once you're trained to drink from the poison water hole. The point is here, I need you to check this fast as soon as you're done eating dinner. Paul, 6 hours ahead, viewers and listeners. I need you to go check out this Opportunity Finance Network nonprofit that works with nearly 200 community development financial institutions to provide loans to small businesses and community groups. I know Starbucks funds gun grabbers and UN stuff, Paul, and festoons their buildings with Illuminati symbolism. I want you to go look into this because I believe this is tied into Soros groups and others. And we can get a big article out on this. And I'm sure Drudge would then probably like to supplement that with this article. If not, it doesn't matter. Our readers will see it. So this is a very worthy article. Are you game for that, or do I need to give this to Nemo? Okay, but you understand. Look into the group. And again, this is where the stimulus only goes to select groups. And then they use the general public to do it. You can also point out the admissions that in the last 3 years since the bailouts, trillions have been sat on by the banks. They've actually used it to not have to loan people for their normal profit centers and to shut down retail customer banking and to lay off hundreds of thousands of big bank employees. So you need to point out this is asinine that the banks are sitting on mass tons of cash, taxpayer money. Also, you could point out, Paul, if they just cut small business taxes, that would be a stimulus. Okay. Not that the mothership goddess of Starbucks with the two serpents up there lovingly giving us poison, their garbage. Almost said poison. There's no poison. It's good for you, ladies and gentlemen. All right. How long do you can have that out? What are you having for dinner, Watson? Fajitas. Got to move to Texas. Have some real fajitas there, buddy boy. All right. Good job. I'll see you. He loves fajitas. I think he's eating them half the time. That and kidney pie and stuff. Another dish from Mexico, actually from England. All right, ladies and gentlemen, back to your calls. I'm getting to the Hank Williams stuff in the next segment. Let's go to Greg in Colorado. That was a good caller, last caller. Don't you think, Greg?
Alex.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Hey, man. I just want you to know I pray for a hedge of protection around you and your family in the name of Jesus and your crew, bud.
Well, thank you. I need it.
And I appreciate all you've done. I came from the deep south, and right now I'm sitting in Colorado up by the Four Corners, and I have my food storage, and I've got my children here safe, and trying to get plugged into the local community and hand out your DVDs, and I just wanted to personally thank you.
So you can skin a buck, you can run a trot line. You're the enemy, just like these... Just like these third world farmers the UN's exterminating. What do you think about that?
It's insane, man. The whole world's gone insane. About two or three times a day, I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. Ask myself, can this really be happening?
Oh, it's happening, my brother.
I wanted to, the other day you did something on the air, and I kind of have a gentle rebuke. But you stated your weakness on air. I believe you were talking about kids being abused or the snuff films or whatever. And you just out loud on the radio said, if you ever wanted to torture me, blah, blah, blah. And I felt bad that you were telling your enemies your weakness.
Well, I think I was being sarcastic. I think if you ever wanted to torture me, you'd put me in a room with Al Gore's voice. And I was just being honest. I mean, the globalists are going to do what the globalists are going to do. They're going to kill me if they want to. They're going to politically destroy me if they want to. At the end of the day, you have to just commit and give it to God. And I was saying, I can't go to these family courts anymore. Back when I used to fight the CPS, I still fight them on air because when the families cry and the cops, and it's always the same weird type demonic judges, get off on the pain and the crying and violate people's rights when they're sucking that energy, they're actual psychic vampires. It tortures me, and you know, it's in between feelings of wanting to physically do something to them and then having to crawl back to my car and cry in my car because watching the vampire's eyes all lit up, sucking up the pain, even thinking about it makes me want to throw up or turn the table over.
I heard that. I got one other question for you. We homeschool. I have four children now. We're homeschooling. I have two that are grown up. But I was wondering if you'd ever consider making a history series for homeschooling. Based on your point of view, even though we homeschool, it's hard to teach.
That is my wife's idea, who homeschools. A whole curriculum, a whole nine yards, and it would be a great idea. The problem is she's been homeschooling my children, and doing a bunch of stuff to ever come up with a curricula. She's also a great artist, and that is my wife's idea. And if I get enough support in here and get the TV system fully launched, I do plan to actually try to put out some children's books that would obviously be a supplement to what's happening. But there's a lot of great stuff out there.
Yep, and I just encourage people to get involved and hand out DVDs. We just moved up here, and I got on the medical marijuana, which, long story for disability and stuff. But anyway, we got to talking, and I just started handing out DVDs there, and I probably dropped off 20 the other day, and they're just going to hand them out to their customers and keep it going.
Well, one good way to wake up the millions of people that are on medical marijuana, cancer survivors, arthritis people, Crohn's disease, it really is an incredible drug. Absolutely, and that's why the big pharma is trying to patent it and everything, and they have come out with their own versions, but it doesn't work as well as the natural plant. I mean, George Washington grew it, and I've seen the copy of the letter in the National Archives. You can look at these online where he talks about the Illuminati and things. You can also look up his doctor prescriptions to the apothecary, where they told him to, you know, smoke this certain type of hemp that has the HTC, THC, whatever it is in it, and you know, for his toothaches. But today, George Washington would go to jail for smoking marijuana. He was a member of Al Qaeda. We'll be back with the Hank Williams Jr., your phone calls, and a lot more. Stay with us. I'm going to continue with your calls and the news. We have the head of the Small Business League popping in the last 20 minutes or so of the third hour today. By the way, we're carrying a new incredible high-quality stainless steel gravity-fed water filter system. We've been searching around the last few years for the very best and testing it. My crew testing out different units themselves. And the best we found is the Pro Pure big stainless steel water purification system. And it's got a stainless steel spigot, not a plastic one. It's got a system that lets you know how much water is in there as well, with a little glass lining that hooks onto the spigot. Very cool. Compared to its leading competitor, it has a 4-inch by 4-inch domed filter system compared to 2x9. It's silver impregnated. The competitors aren't. Its life expectancy is 3,000 gallons. Arsenic reduction, it has it. The leading competitor doesn't. Filter priming required, no. Leading competitor, yes, you got to prime the filter. It has NSF 42 standard certified. Yes, they're certified. Leading competitors are not. They have a 7.5-inch ProPure sight glass spigot available. They have the fluoride filters. Fluoride's so small, you've got to add an extra filter to get that out. Just check it out at InfoWars.com. Super high-quality gravity-fed filter, top of the line, and less than the leading competitors. By the way, we discounted at InfoWars.com more than even the factory. So you're getting the lowest prices out there from ProPure and supporting the InfoWar at the online video bookstore /apparel. It's all about getting the word out and all about protecting you and your family and supporting the transmission. It's a win, 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 win. I only promote what I believe in, and this is what I am now using. This is the best. ProPure, the new generation, 21st century gravity-fed filter, available at InfoWars.com. Okay, let's go out of this hour with Hank Williams Jr. on a Fox News program yesterday. He's now been fired by ESPN, who bought Monday Night Football. He's been doing it for 20 years, and no more Hank Williams Jr. Here it is.
With an easy question, who do you like in the GOP race?
Nobody.
Nobody?
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
Boehner.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Biden and Kasich, yeah. Uh-huh.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on, come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Okay.
Not hardly. in the country this shape is in, the shape this country's in, I mean. No, I don't
so, know. Yeah, I don't understand the that analogy, that actually.
Well, it's...
Well, I'm South glad there. You don't, brother, because a lot of people do.
Now, basically, and Dew's actually got the full clip. We're going to play more of it tonight on the Nightly News, 7 o'clock, centralprisonplanet.tv. But the point here is, he's saying he doesn't like any of the Republicans or Democrats. He's saying they're all bad. He's saying it should be like polar opposites, Republicans and Democrats meeting. Now, he's been fired from Monday Night Football. But we've got to watch Janet Napolitano lecture us about the police state and how groping us is good and injecting herself in at Walmart on telescreens and Mall of America, always forcing their way into our lives. Now they're going to be popping in on smartphones, popping in over the radio. We've got to hear what they have to say. Oh, and then now Hank Williams, see, this is political correctness. We should honor people that have their own views. I mean, Madonna and people play at the Super Bowl. And they always call for gun control and stuff. Do I call for kicking her off there? No. Now, meanwhile, Hank Williams Jr.'s son says my dad should not talk politics. And, you know, I don't agree with that. You know, you ought to defend your father's right.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, it's hour number three. I'm going to continue with some calls right now that I must blitz through a bunch of the news on the other side of this quick break. I want to get into Hank Williams Jr.'s son, Hank Williams III, who's contacted us, says he's a listener. It was like 2 years ago. I got to dig his number out. I guess he wanted to talk to me, and then a producer talked to him, and he's like, well, I just want you to know I listen to the show, but I don't want to get political. I don't know what that means. The whole world is political. And how is your dad not supposed to say he's mad at the whole government, he's mad at Republicans and Democrats, and then he didn't really call Obama Hitler. He's saying it's like two polar opposites meeting. And that's how he should extricate himself from this, if that's what he meant by it. That's what I believe. Because Obama is not like Hitler. Obama is a puppet. Hitler was not a puppet. He was positioned. He was allowed to get into power. The British intel liked it because they thought he was unstable. But he was not a puppet. And but I guess you could compare Obama's handlers to Nazis because they are for population reduction. We got to dig through the emails and find that. And I know somebody out there knows him. Maybe call Shooter Jennings. I bet he's got his number. And try to get Hank Williams Jr. on to really flesh things out instead of telling TMZ, which is a subsidiary, basically a Fox television, what he thinks about all of this. I'm going to be breaking that down coming up a little bit later because it deals with the whole First Amendment and chilling effects. Let's go ahead and talk to Tim in Wisconsin. Tim, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, so I just had, like, an idea and stuff like that for, you know, Bank of America and TSA and then for NFL for boycotting all of them. If you could get a boycott list up on the website and stuff of, you know, the top 200 companies, and then just maybe if you made a video of, you know, like, people, like, returning, like, someone made a video or you did of just returning items, you know, NFL merchandise to Walmart or other corporations, and because then the shareholders are taking notes that they're losing money. I mean, the message should be that we're not buying.
Yeah, I'm going to call right now in defense of the First Amendment and to stop this new red scare against people that are mad at the government. Hank Williams Jr. clearly, and we just played the clip, said, I don't like any of the Republicans or the Democrats, and basically said it should be polar opposites for Republicans and Democrats to be meeting. And they took that out of context, but even if he said Hitler, so what? And fired him from that job. And they say, well, that's free market. The NFL gets government money, government subsidies. They got Janet Napolitano politicizing it. It's now politicized. They already politicized it. So they can't go after Hank Williams Jr. for what he did. And I want to get a hold of Hank Williams III and see if he's been taken out of context, too, by TMZ. Because, you know, he's here saying his dad doesn't have, you know, basically shouldn't speak because he's just a musician. You know, I know auto mechanics that know a lot more than your average lawyer. I mean, I know military veterans that do. Does it mean they shouldn't be able to speak? Musicians have a right to their views. I'm friends with Jimmy Vaughn. He's a really smart guy and a musician. Dave Mustaine's a musician, super smart. I happen to know Bob Dylan's very political and knows what's going on. Listen to his lyrics. I mean, Bono is running around supporting carbon taxes and stuff. He's bad news. But it's still his right. I mean, these are successful musicians and business people. But everybody's got a right. This idea that if you're a musician or that guy's a radio host, who cares what he has to say? Well, you know what? I care what I have to say. And and my ideas should stand and fall on my ideas, not on if I'm a ditch digger or if I'm a lawyer or if I'm a pastor or if I'm a school teacher or I'm black or I'm white or I'm old or I'm young. And I agree. Send all the NFL crud back. Listen, I don't toot our horn. We had victories. The Green Bay Packers came out in the newspaper last week and said, we're not going to do the gropings because it's unpopular. We've had a backlash. We need to get all the NFL franchises to say they're not going to be part of this. And we need to get the NFL to rehire Hank Williams Jr. What do you say to that?
Yeah, definitely, because he was on for so many years and stuff. I know my girlfriend listens to Hank Williams a lot, too, and I listen to Country Boy Can't Survive and stuff, you know, all the time, way back in the day in my trains and when I was cruising around.
By the way, Harmon, cue that up when we come back. We've got to play some Hank Williams Jr. since he's now boycotted. But I wonder if Hank Williams Jr. supported the Dixie Chicks when they came out against the war. We ought to look that up. But you know what? Even if he was wrong about that, and I don't remember, we should still support his free speech. And I supported the Dixie Chicks then. We'll be right back.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
Well, banned from the NFL.
I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
I'm going to get into some of the news and then your phone calls here right now.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a bullwhip.
By the way, I've got this article here out of TMZ. Hank Williams Jr.'s son, my dad should not talk politics. Ken Weldon, who plays country music all over the country, works here in my office. He was telling me, he goes, no, he was saying, you don't want to call Shooter Jennings to get his number, because I know we've had it before, because he said those two do not like each other. Like, we need to get more of that Shooter Jennings music he made for us, and then we've got that he authorized us to use in Police State 4. We need to play that as bumper music. It's so good. That Summer Rage, we'll play some of that at the bottom of the hour, really predicting a year ago what now is unfolding around the world this summer. It's now gone into the fall. But I don't normally cover pop stories. It's just Hank Williams Jr. says he doesn't like Republicans or Democrats and is mad at them all and says that Republicans and Democrats meeting is like polar opposites, Netanyahu and Hitler. In his view, that's polar opposites. And then he gets kicked off the NFL. There's going to be a big backlash against the NFL because the NFL is an institution. It's quasi-government now. It's used for propaganda. They got Homeland Security prancing around at all the events, groping people, scaremongering, running ads. And I disagree with Hank Williams III says, he, quote, doesn't think his father should have opened his mouth about Obama yesterday, telling TMZ most musicians are not worthy of political discussion. I think everybody's worthy. When we start trying to be political and be informed, we could make that important again and not just be a bunch of people that barely pay attention to what's happening. TMZ spokesman spoke with Hank Williams III, a punk rock meets country singer, who tells us the only person out there worthy of mixing political views with music is Jello Biafra. Jello Biafra is the original lead singer of the legendary punk rock band Dead Kennedys, who is now a big shot political figure in the Green Party. As TMZ previously reported, Hank's dad's famous Are You Ready for Some Football jam was yanked from Monday Night Football last night after Hank Williams, the second one on Fox News, proclaimed that President Obama and Joe Biden are the enemy. When he was asked, Hank Williams III, about his political views, he told us, I'm a musician, not a politician. Well, I think we know your views since you've contacted us, but I don't know what for. Even if you supported that evil war and the lies about WMDs, you shouldn't have called to boycott the Dixie Chicks and take their music off the radio. That was wrong. The people that death threatened Willie Nelson and his family because he was going to put on an event with me and Jesse Ventura here in Austin. That was wrong. That's not how you win a political fight. But that's what the establishment's going to do. And even if you disagree with Hank Williams Jr., you should support his right to say that. This idea where you, because pretty soon, you start firing comedians for jokes, which is now happening, the Aflac guy. You start getting rid of everybody. Pretty soon, you start self-censoring, and then there can be no communication. That's why so many companies and individuals are totally milquetoast, and it sends the message, don't be involved, don't say what you think, or you'll lose your job. We need to say what we think. Why is the Federal Reserve announcing in the news, in Forbes and other places, hey, we're watching everybody. We're keeping the list, everybody that criticizes us, just so you know. That's an attempt at intimidation. Our answer to that is, okay, we're going to go to the Dallas Fed this weekend, and we're going to occupy it. Now, again, I thought this up split second while doing an on-the-side-of-the-road Sunday afternoon broadcast and said, you know what, we're going to occupy not Wall Street and capitalism, some vague term. We're going to go after the monopoly insiders that want to destroy free market capitalism and replace it with crony monopoly systems. And I said, I'm going to go to the Dallas Fed and demonstrate Friday, the Houston Fed Saturday, the San Antonio Fed Sunday. I'm going to be there at 6 p.m. at night Friday, high noon Saturday, and 10 a.m. Sunday in San Antonio. I want to see you there. Just type into Google. It's already rolled off the main page. Need to get some banners up. Occupy Federal Reserve Movement launched. But we need to actually occupy, and it's the Dallas Fed that needs to be occupied. I will be there for 2 hours Friday, and you should have these all over the country. New York City, Kansas City, everywhere they have the Big 12, and they have sub-branches, several per big state, which are just as important. And whether it's you and 10 people, it doesn't matter. Whether it's you and one person, and you videotape it, and the cops come and make you go, you put it on YouTube. We cannot lose by fighting. And then, I will tell you this. If people, I'm going to get there Friday, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to drive away, and go to the next location. But I will tell you this, wherever there is the biggest Occupy Wall Street movement towards occupying the Federal Reserve, camping out around them, because it'll take days to get media attention. Wherever that is, I will then travel to that location to be there with you. And regardless, I'll send reporters to different locations. This is a big deal. We're launching a big movement. Let's just pull out all the stops. I did this Sunday, yesterday, speeds by, do the Monday nightly news show. Boom, we're here. I've got to shoot a promo video that's going to be like 1 minute long today that we're going to get up on the YouTube channel and InfoWars and Prison Planet today that we need to go total viral out to everybody. Absolutely viral. It's going to be a 1 minute about you've seen the Occupy Wall Street movement calling for socialism, calling for higher taxes, generally attacking free market and private property. Those of us that do not agree with this George Soros, Obama-led hijacking of anti-Wall Street movement are setting our sights on the core enemy, the monopoly men, the crony capitalists, the Federal Reserve, who won't tell us where the tens of trillions of dollars went. We're going to force their corporate-owned media, like MSNBC, that got direct Federal Reserve taxpayer bailout money, to report on the real issue. No one can stop us. Occupy Federal Reserve locations across the country. And then I'm going to read off the 12, and then that's it. It's up to you. Are you going to let them represent you? Are you going to let fake grassroots, fake artificial color revolution George Soros bull take control of the second American revolution? Or are we going to snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat and supercharge 1776 in America and then worldwide? It's up to you. That's basically going to be what I off the gut, off the mind, right off the top of my mind, hit you with, showing the enemy Federal Reserve. And I may say things like, they've tried to run on reporters, often threatened them in Kansas City. But we successfully stood against them in Dallas and other areas. Then they sent the army out to surveil us. Don't let that intimidate you. This is the real enemy. Occupy the Federal Reserve. And we need to have a code to peacefully, around the sidewalk, point this out. And if they arrest you, so what? You aren't going to be a slave. They arrest me Friday or Saturday or Sunday. That's the way it is. Now, they haven't. In past, in the feds, I haven't seen any arrests. You know why? because they don't, that will be forced into the news, and they don't want that. They, the cops made the Occupy Wall Street people get out on the Brooklyn Bridge. They were out on the sidewalk, and they forced them to block the road. The cops don't know why they were ordered to do that. I know why. Because they want to have the left hijack this, just like the controlled right tried to hijack the Tea Party. They haven't completely succeeded. It's a fight going on about real issues. Ron Paul is our main attack cruiser deployed right into the fray to bring up real issues and point out that Obama and the Republicans are working on the same team. He's kicking hind in. But it's all about the people hitting the streets. So whether you're anywhere in this area of the Central South, what would you call the area of Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma? I mean, that's the South Central area of the United States. Yeah, South Central, because it's southern area in the middle of the country. Kind of the southern heartland. You have no excuses. No excuses. No excuses. We are going to start the ball rolling that's been rolling for 4 years. We're going to supercharge it. And I've got to say, I'm seeing some good in the Fed stuff now out of the Occupy Wall Street group, because now the people there are hearing what we're saying. Hey, don't let George Soros take you over. Don't let the unions take you over. The unions show up tomorrow in full force to take it over in San Francisco, L.A., New York, Chicago, Dallas, other areas. We have got to have our people at those as well. But I'm telling you, the Federal Reserve is where we go. Okay, let's go ahead and grant, get some calls here. Let's talk to John in Oregon. We've got about a minute and a half. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Alex. Thank you for having me on. First off, I'll make it quick. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm fired up. I mean, we're going up against the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, hey, man, you know, I just got to share your enthusiasm. I just want to say to the Occupy Wall Streeters out there that I want to remind everybody that the Founding Fathers, they never marched on Main Street. They weren't against Main Street and businesses. They were against the Federal Reserve Bank or the central banks at that time. I mean, that's the whole point is the George Soros is, and it's just basically the Federal Reserve. It's the same central banking system, same policies, I'm sure, that they used back then that they're doing to us now. And it just pisses me off that this Occupy Wall Street, I'm glad to hear that more people are waking up to it, but they really, and I'm really glad that you're here to help people identify where the real crooks are. And, I mean, I like what you have for our demands of audit the Fed. I think that's perfect. To investigate and indict, that's excellent. But I also would suggest...
Stay there. I want to hear your ideas for a list of demands. I need to get into Fast and Furious, too. Big developments came out today, just confirming everything we already knew 5 years ago, but now it's mainstream news. And I'm looking at commenters saying I'm not covering Fast and Furious.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, I'm going back to John in Oregon here in a moment so he can finish up his ideas for a list of demands, but I want to show PrisonPlanet.tv viewers these articles. You can go to InfoWars.com and read all of these. You can go to DrudgeReport.com. He's got them all on the left-hand side, linked in red. Here's the big news. It came out this morning. Emails show top Justice Department officials knew of ATF gun program. Memos from 2010 show some in senior positions were aware of tactics used in surveillance operation in which firearms were allowed into Mexico in a failed effort to catch drug cartel leaders. Here's my problem with this. This was not a failed effort. Okay, the real documents are in federal court in Chicago. And the Chicago Tribune and the El Paso Times and now the Houston Chronicle have all reported, not in their headline, but buried in the articles, you can go read the court filings, that the U.S. government has admitted that Sinaloa for 5.5 years was told since 2005 that they were allowed, that's why the Republicans don't want to go there, to ship cocaine into the U.S. by the ATF, FBI, and DEA, ton upon ton a month, through Texas, New Mexico, and other areas, one of the biggest drug cartels on the border, and that they were given guns to knock out their competition, 2,000 of them in one shipment. This is not just companies allowed to sell them and told to. That's part of it. So there's a reason you don't see the congressman investigating this, getting into this. That's why they went after Bill Clinton for sex. They didn't want to go after him for Chinese generals and payoffs because they were involved. Ken Starr was involved with companies with the communist Chinese. So, I've been covering this for almost 6 years with Sully Castile and others who were former DEA, telling you exactly what was about to happen in Mexico, the new war between the cartels. And now I've got a lot of people sending me emails going, cover this more. We broke it. We covered it. We went through it. Okay? We've been on it since the beginning. I first brought Sully Castile, when he wasn't even known in Texas, on air, going back like 8 years ago. I sold out his book, Powder Burns, where he didn't have any more left. I brought him to be in Kevin Booth's film that aired on Showtime, American Drug War. Okay? I've been covering this for 8 years. 6 years ago, Sully found out about all this. He's now, they set him up, ATF did, put him in prison, selling a few shotguns. The point is that this goes to the Republicans as well. And that's why they don't want to bring down Obama with this. Is because he can then bring up the fact that it's an Iran-Contra operation, shipping guns into Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Colombia. That's all come out in federal court now. Into Chicago, into Tampa, into all over, into Indiana, into Indianapolis. This has all come out now in the court filings. So, LA Times, Pulitzer Prize, CBS News, oh my gosh, they actually sold him the guns. They're not telling you the other part of the cases. It's drugs back in. They're arming drug cartels that launder their money through Wachovia, Wells Fargo, and other Federal Reserve banks. This is an Iran-Contra. Just like the head of the New York Stock Exchange, Richard Grasso, in 1999, when he was the head, it was in Reuters, a photo, went and met with the head of the FARC, and under U.S. law, he's allowed to invest drug money internationally in U.S. banks. And he said, you will invest with us or we will invade. They didn't do it, so they sent U.S. forces in. And they only spray with GPS the coca crops they don't control, the cocaine. Now, here's the big news. It's up at Infowars.com right now. It's up at Drudge Report. House Republicans request special counsel to probe Holder on Fast and Furious. A special prosecutor. And to make sure that nobody goes to jail, it's just politically embarrassing and the drug dealing continues. This goes back to Bush as well. You want to kill the ATF politically once and for all, you got to admit the full scope. You got to go after Obama. You got to go after the Republicans, all of them. That's why the first thing Obama did was say he wouldn't investigate Bush when he got in. First thing Bush did when he got in was say he wouldn't investigate Clinton. First thing Clinton said he would do was he wouldn't investigate George Bush Sr. This is how the corruption works, okay? I want to go to this caller for the last minute of this segment so we can comment, but... Exclusive. House Republicans are calling for a special counsel to determine whether Attorney General Holder perjured himself during his testimony to the House Judiciary Committee on Operation Fast Furious. They have emails. They have him giving speeches 2 years ago about the operation in plain view. He's been caught. Of course he perjured himself. Arrest him now. He's the head criminal at that level. Let's go back to John in Oregon. John, what was your other list of demands when we occupy the Federal Reserve this weekend?
Yeah, well, first, like I said, we're going to audit the Fed. We want them audited immediately. Two, we want them investigated and indicted. We want these criminals in jail, okay? Three is we want them to return the $27 trillion that they took from us. But we don't just want it in their C-note. We want them in gold and silver, in a gold and silver standard. And
by the way, that would pay off all mortgages in America and give each American a giant cash dividend. I'm not saying we should do that, but we this is not our debt. Great points, great points, great points. I'm going to play part of Shooter Jennings, patriotic music coming up. Shooter Jennings put this out, what, more than a year ago. Of course, the son of legendary country music singer Waylon Jennings, one of my favorites, one of the Highwaymen. He predicted what's now happening with the economy. The Summer of Rage is what this song is called. Crank it up.
Around,
Oh, Holder's been caught perjuring himself. The government shipping in the drugs.
A gas mask is the couture in the summer of rage. The building mass graves within the states. You and I to vaccinate. They're preparing us for an all-out police state.
They're preparing the mass graves. They'll forcibly inoculate us. They're preparing the police state. Yeah, crank it up. I'm going to show folks some news headlines here. House Republicans request special counsel to probe Holder on Fast and Furious, but Bush was involved. The documents admit Sinaloa was given guns for 5.5 years. And we're allowed to ship in drugs to wage war against the other drug cartels who were shipping in too much and driving down the price of the loving white powder. Papa Fed making money with the Federal Reserve off the cocaine, heroin, and marijuana.
Weapons, total defiance. Let our love.
Meanwhile, the UN is in Honduras, mainstream news, mass murdering villagers to get their property. No, I guess the police state isn't slowing down. Meanwhile, tonight on the nightly news, and I even played at the very end of this radio show, we've watched now the entire Hank Williams interview, and he said, Hank Williams Jr. said, 89% of the American people want to abolish Congress. I hate both parties, Wall Street. They're a bunch of crooks. On and on and on. And they took that Hitler comment and said that, and his statement that Boehner and Obama and all of them are the enemy. And they said, oh, he's calling Obama Hitler, using that political correctness. Wow, that's some wild stuff right there at the end. I think that's from the Cremation of Care scream, I think, is what it sounded like. But just to finish up what I was saying, they are going after free speech. So tonight, the real reason, the rest of the story of why Hank Williams Jr. was fired from 20 years of introducing Monday Night Football, which, by the way, that will hurt their ratings. People love that. They love little rituals. And they love to have the good old boy, you know, officiate over things in the overalls. So people are going to get angry about that. But the issue is, this is this new political correctness where you can't criticize your corrupt government. They know the one message they won't put up with is a general indictment. If it's on Obama or the Republicans, that's fine. You indict them all, though. And call them out that they work for the New World Order. It's over. So now I've really got to get a hold of Hank Williams Jr. I doubt he'll talk now, though. He'll probably be slapped down, but who knows? He might ignore it. And, you know, I'm proud of him saying that the whole government's criminal. And you know what? I think I know that they reportedly are estranged, but I think Hank Williams III ought to support his father's free speech. But maybe TMZ took it out of context. And again, this will affect us all, just like the Dixie Chicks being slapped down for their comments. By the way, I know folks that have talked to them. They know about 9/11 being an inside job. But when I talked to the Dixie Chicks, they said, we've already had too much political problems. We're staying out of it. We're not going to go public for 9/11 truth. I know they live right here in Austin. I know they listen to the show. Well, you ought to go public. You shouldn't let the people that slapped you down win. And we shouldn't let them do this to Hank Williams Jr. You shouldn't be punished for your political views. All right, I'm going to shut up now and take you to some of our sponsors and then to our next guest and then your phone calls. Survival RX, legislation like Codex Alimentarius, threatens our ability to purchase vitamins and supplements in the future. Our new sponsor, Survival RX, has been in the sports nutrition business for 10 years and is a leader in it. They come up with the world's first long-term storable vitamin and nutritional supplements. They've created a proprietary triple nitrogen flush manufacturing process that will allow you to store their highly quality vitamins for decades. Survival RX has extended their free shipping special for limited times. So, folks, be sure and check this out today. Go to survivalrx.com. That's just survival, the word survival with RX after it. Survivalrx.com. Check them out today. Survival RX. Also, purewaterfreedom.com has a line of whole house filters, under the sink, tabletop, handheld little filter systems. They got them all. It's all made in the USA. They remove fluoride and other toxins from your water source, every water source in your house, purewaterfreedom.com. Imagine being able to turn your tap water into safe, clean, drinkable, and bathing water. That's where you absorb a lot of it, is bathing. When was the last time you took a fluoride-free shower? Turn your tap water into the best water, purewaterfreedom.com. Check out purewaterfreedom.com today. Now I take you to Lloyd Chapman, a frequent contributor to The Transmission. He is one of the only pro-small business groups in the country, has, I don't know, close to 300,000 members last time I checked. And he's the president of the American Small Business League. And he points out that the federal government violates federal law. And he's gone over that. And then later I'm going to get to calls with like Maggie, 1340 AM KOMI listener, and XM listeners and others that are patiently sitting there. We're going to get to you as well. I have to go into overdrive. Shortwave listeners, we're going to get to all of you. But Lloyd Chapman has pointed out, this is a big deal. Just like the government shipping drugs in and guns out to kill their competition, the government's a bunch of criminal mafia. And if you don't admit it, they'll just keep expanding their criminal operation. Upwards of, what he said, 90-plus percent of small business contracts under law are supposed to go to small businesses with you know, all this federal purchasing. But instead, it goes to offshore corporations and Fortune 100. And now our researchers have discovered, Lloyd Chapman has discovered, that they have a secret blacklist of American small businesses. And so we hear all this talk of small businesses, but we see insider Democrats giving, you know, $500 million, billion-dollar free cash of taxpayers, but none of it goes to build jack squat. It is a total hand over fist looting. And I wanted to get you on in the perspective of the Occupy Wall Street. We got a bunch of kids funded by George Soros and Obama saying tax the middle class and shut down capitalism. That's exactly what the big monopoly men want, Lloyd.
Absolutely. People need to realize that our government runs on contributions from Fortune 500 firms, and the K Street lobbyists run on contributions from Fortune 500 firms. Our Congress, our government, our president, they do not pass legislation to benefit the people. They pass legislation to benefit the people that fund their campaigns, like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. I love to see those kids protesting Wall Street. Hope they stay down there for a year. There needs to be a million people on Wall Street.
I agree with you, but the main demands that at least the media gives attention to, the dominant whore media, is increased taxes on the rich, but the Warren Buffett plan goes after the middle class, not the exempt offshore corporations, and they're calling for, Michael Moore is, and others are dressing up like Mao Zedong, you know, running around saying off with their heads. This is being Democratic Party run. They're trying to co-opt the opposition.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Something occurred to me the other day. I'm sure this occurred to you like 5 years ago. But the very Fortune 500 firms that control our government also are the ones that run what percentage of the ads on national television? 95%?
Yeah.
So it's hard to get the truth on national television, because those are the same guys, you know, that are making all the major contributions. But people wouldn't believe how corrupt the government is. People just wouldn't believe it. And the things they're doing to the public are just, you know, my biggest problem is, when I talk to a journalist and I tell them, I'll just read a report from an inspector general, and they can't believe it. They can't believe it. So I'll actually just read a report from the inspector general, and I'll be labeled a conspiracy nut and a lunatic for just reading what an inspector general said.
Oh, yeah, the CIA inspector general in 1997 found the CIA was running most of the narcotics into the country through licensed cartels. And if I talk about that today and even play the clips, I'm a conspiracy theorist showing the CIA admitting it.
Yeah. You know, the government spends a lot of time and money trying to convince people I'm a conspiracy nut. In fact, to tell you the truth, Alex, I've had six national television appearances canceled in the last 60 days. And I've called my staff to call these. The last one was the Lou Dobbs Show. And I said, call them up and ask them, how did the government know I was supposed to be on your show? So when you got a phone call from some government PR guy and said, don't put Lloyd on your show, he's a conspiracy nut, he's a lunatic, how did they know I was going to be on your show? Did you call them up and tell them? I didn't. How did they know? And
But, yeah, they do not want people like you and me, you know, telling what's going on. You mentioned Eric Holder, by the way. So anybody that's ever heard my name knows that for 20 years I've been winning lawsuits against the government and exposing hundreds of billions in fraud and abuse, right? Eric Holder is my number one enemy. So if I'm trying to get information on billions in fraud, I'm up against that guy and the Justice Department. And they've done everything they can to withhold information that proves that companies like Finn Mechanica in Rome with 75,000 employees and $30 billion in assets are getting $250 million a year in federal small business contracts. Eric Holder will stand in the door and not let you get that information.
Well, Eric Holder has been caught perjuring himself in public speeches. He slipped up and admitted their Fast and Furious thing. Then he said he never heard of it. Now it's been confirmed in Congress. It went all the way into the White House. And but again, the Republicans can't really go after it because the gun running was going on under Bush, too. That's the big, dirty secret. If you read the Sinaloa drug documents in federal court, they were authorized 5.5 years ago to do this. This predates Obama. He expanded it and then also used it to demonize the Second Amendment. So he went further. But this is systemic rotten corruption. For those that don't understand, explain to them the federal law that if you're going to have all this government contracts, then it's got to go to small businesses. But that's not what they do.
No. So think about this, people. It's been shown by the Census Bureau and groups like the Kauffman Foundation that small businesses create between 90 and 100% of all net new jobs. 100%. Federal law for about 55 years has said that a minimum of 23% of all government contracts should go to small businesses. Well, that makes perfect sense, particularly now, since they create 100% of the jobs. And there's been 15 federal investigations, not Lloyd Chapman, the conspiracy and that lunatic. The SBA Inspector General said this in 2005, quote, "One of the largest challenges facing the Small Business Administration and the entire federal government today is that large businesses are getting federal small business contract awards." And that's been named for six consecutive years. The SBA Inspector General has named that as the number one challenge. So here we are. The whole nation's going bankrupt. We're trying to create jobs. Small businesses create 100% of the jobs, and over 95% of all federal spending goes to Fortune 500 firms, which conversely, let's figure this out. If small businesses are creating 100% of the net new jobs, how many jobs are Fortune 500 corporations creating? The truth is Fortune 500 firms haven't created one job in 30 years, one net new job, and yet 90 to 95% of our tax dollars go to those corporations.
Well, even Dennis Kucinich said this. This should be one of the Occupy Wall Street groups that, just like in China or India, you know, their government contracts have to be domestic. They don't deindustrialize. They're trying to industrialize. And even Dennis Kucinich came out a month ago and said the head of the President's Economic Council, the former head of General Electric, is only creating jobs in India and China. They're moving with the bailout money the factories, the x-ray systems, everything out of the nation. It is the policy to deindustrialize this country to bring us to our knees. That is what globalism is.
Absolutely. You know what's shocking to me? I don't know this for a fact. Somebody told me that the president of General Electric, the company who's shipping more jobs overseas than the company, sat next to Michelle Obama when the president gave his job speech.
No, he did. No. Right. He comes out and lectures about American jobs while they're shutting down hundreds of power plants, because if General Electric doesn't own it, or if you switch over to their service company that will upkeep your power plant and all of its scrubbers, then you get the magic wand. It's literally the mafia. It's hire my cousin, Luigi, General Electric here, or you're shut down. I mean, they're that naked. I mean, these are hardcore crooks.
Absolutely. Here's something I want people to know. President Obama gave his job speech on Thursday, the first African-American president in history. Listen to this, folks. Friday afternoon, around 4 o'clock in D.C., the Obama administration very quietly, and got zero press on it, released a policy to abolish the oldest and most successful federal program to direct infrastructure spending to minority-owned companies, the 5% contract to go for minorities. So one of the first black president and the first African-American attorney general, they are abolishing the oldest and most successful program to create jobs in minority communities coast to coast. It was completely and totally unreported on. Nobody knows. It wasn't picked up anywhere in the media. I've had my guys on the phone for 3 weeks telling people about it. And, gosh, another bill popped up the other day. Sarah McCaskill popped up with bills every day that could potentially put around 500,000 small businesses in bankruptcy to work with the federal government. It's shocking. Again, it's so different than what people think it is that it's just hard to believe. People say, well, that can't be true. That just can't be true. It's true.
Well, look, the globalists went in the 70s, and they publicly told China, let select corporations use your slave labor. We're going to move here. And so these very same multinational corporations get laws passed and regulations to shut down regular commerce so they can move everything to China and India and Mexico. And they've done it. And they're not going to stop. And because they want us poor. I mean, there's so many globalist documents we've read on air where they say they want you so poor, you're busy just trying to get enough money to buy food so that you're not uppity. They know people that are middle class become politically active. And they're getting rid of, they're ending America as we know it. They're ending the American dream.
Absolutely. I want people to remember three things that Thomas Jefferson said. He said, every generation needs a new revolution. He said, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold for people of good conscience to remain silent. And my favorite phrase that should get the FBI knocking on my door, he said that the tree of liberty needs to be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. He's my kind of guy.
Now, you've got hundreds of thousands of small businesses as members. Are they starting to get more and more angry?
You know what? They're angry, but they're afraid. I'll have to tell you that the small businesses are afraid. They're just afraid. They're afraid. You know, the government is just, they're terrified of government.
And that is why they fail. Government is gang raping us for their banker masters because we've been over. And it's time to stop acting like it. It's only encouraging. Folks, your cowardice is what is encouraging all this. It's what is allowing this. It's what's bringing. Folks, we're not going to have time to play the clips of what Hank Williams Jr. really said. He said the whole Congress is criminal. 89% of the American people, you know, want them all fired. It's actually 91% now. They only have a 9% approval rating. That's all coming up this evening. Got something special for you on the nightly news, 7 o'clock. I'm going to do 5 minutes of overdrive here to take at least some of the calls that have been holding the longest here. But just finishing up. With the point that you were making in closing, Lloyd Chapman of ASBL.com, that's the American Small Business League. Folks, I see citizens just shake in fear. Like I had the Border Patrol 100 miles into the U.S. come over and say, turn my camera off. And I said no to them. Everybody's amazed. I would just say no, it's my First Amendment. And then I said, no, you're not going to violate, you know, oh, you're going to violate my Fourth Amendment and come on the bus? And then they backed off. You know, the point is that we've gotten to this point where we have let criminals take over because we think of government as our master, not as our servant. And what did Thomas Jefferson say, to keep quoting him? When the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And I think that's a good place to leave it. Final comment on that subject, Lloyd Chapman.
You're an American hero, buddy. You're the new Thomas Jefferson. I love your show. You're one of the few people that's telling the truth. I wish that you were on national television 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People need to hear what you've got to say.
Well, as you know, my friend, I'm not a hero and you're not a hero. We're just trying to survive here and doing the best we can, ringing the alarm bell. But you know, there's the prestige of being on national TV, but we reach over 10 million a week just on YouTube alone now.
Good.
And so there's that illusion that you know, we're the alternative media. We are really the new media.
Well, let's just say this. People need to quit being afraid. Quit being afraid. These bozos work for you. Quit being afraid. Do something. Do something.
Lloyd, we got to do a full hour and take calls from small business owners in the near future. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on with us.
All right. Talk to you later, brother.
All right. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. I want to jam in some calls now. Don't forget, we're going to occupy the Federal Reserve, you know, around their driveway on the on the road around it on public land there at Dallas, 6 o'clock this coming Friday, and it's up to you, the activists, to hit it and to stay there. And then as others come in, you know, to rotate in and out, everybody spend a few days there, folks. Camp out there. Bring your sleeping bag. And then I'm going to go to other Federal Reserve locations, and if it sticks, I'm going to come back and stay there with you. And I'll definitely send reporters there as well. Just hard to do the nightly news and cover all this. That's why we have the RV now and the Skype and the computers. So here we go. 1340 AM KOMY in Santa Cruz. Listener Maggie, you're our tail gunner in the official transmission. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex Jones. It's great to talk to you. A neighbor told me about your show, and ever since I've been listening to you. And the reason I'm calling is I saw you on the History Channel the other night. You were kayaking with a small group of people who were attempting to enter the Bohemian Grove.
Yes.
And the reason I was calling is I was curious as to why, you know, perhaps it wasn't done in the dark, or why the people that went up onto the property weren't wearing some kind of camouflage. It just seemed like they were...
Well, it's a 2,700-acre deal, and everybody always tries to go in at night or through the front, and there's mountains around it. So there's one entrance that I told them about, and then it's raining, and the kayaks are tumping over with the cameras, and we had to go from a launch point 2 miles away. And then they didn't legally, once they got arrested, want to show all the footage. But I told people when I spoke in Santa Cruz that it happened the day before. I've been at the Bohemian Grove. I had to jump off, you know, the embankment into the water, get to the, you know, I had to get in a kayak. I had to hide on the side of the road. There were cops everywhere. I mean, I had to literally Rambo it out of there. So I was the only one that didn't get arrested. All right, Maggie, listening to us in Central California in beautiful Santa Cruz, was asking why we didn't sneak in at night. Look, it's always easy to say, you know, you could have done this, could have done that. They got motion sensors. They got night vision. That was the thing. The kayak company wouldn't let us get on the kayaks. The kayak company, they rented a tour in the off season while it was raining. They wouldn't let us do it unless we wore, quote, raincoats, because it was too cold, we can get hyperthermia. The raincoats did not work. The water went through them. They were bright colors. And a lot of times you just deal with this ninnying bureaucracy. And so that's the reason we were wearing bright colors. But it didn't matter. Because what happened was they were at a local theater shooting interviews with myself and others. There was a lawyer there talking about how he did drum circles with George Herbert Walker Bush, stuff I'd already confirmed through others, and he was actually a guy, even though he's a lawyer, who volunteered to be a servant at the camp. And he said, I ought to call it in on you right now. I know you're going to the Grove. I heard him talking. I said, oh, no, we're not. And he said, yeah. He goes, I won't. And I knew full well. I told him, I said, that guy blew the whistle on us. And I said, they're going to be waiting. They're like, no, they're not. And I was like, okay, pal. That was that Decoded show. So does that they already knew we were coming. But so what? You walk right into the trap to illustrate what's going on there. I certainly wasn't going to get caught by them. I got away. Does that answer your question, Maggie?
Yeah, well, I just thought what was strange was after they were arrested and then released, they seemed to be the people that were arrested and then released seemed to then have an about-face. They were saying, oh, well, doesn't seem to be like there's...
Yeah, they seem to be like U.S. pilots shot down by the North Koreans who suddenly say they love Kim Jong-il.
Like, as if the condition of their release was that they would say that nothing was going on at Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, no, they did basically poop their pants over that whole deal. I don't want to get into... You work with somebody on a project, and they were even afraid to show my footage. So they did artist renderings of it. Just ridiculous. I don't want to get into Bassing, Meltzer. He's obviously whitewashing stuff, whatever. The fact that they have to cover it means we're winning. I appreciate your call. Great points. Let's talk to Ella in Wisconsin. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Okay. I'm having, like, the worst problem of my entire life. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to be dramatic, and I'm trying not to cry in front of my son, so give me a second to hide. CPS tried to take my kid today because he has a scar on his face. he has this issue where he's like hyper, so he jumps all over the place, whatever. It's not a big deal. But the day that, you know, he just happened to hit like the pan that was in my hand, it had water in it and it was hot and it got in his face. So he's got a scar. This was like 3 weeks ago. Today I get a freaking phone call from CPS saying to me that they're going to take my child and, you know, just for questioning or whatever, and just to take him out of custody for me. And I'm like, why? Because of the scar. And it's part of protocol. And I said, no, it's not part of protocol. First off, you're supposed to ask him with me present. I'm sorry. I'm trying to breathe. I'm kind of mad.
No, no, they are criminals. They are monsters. They are dangerous. They are evil. But look. I'll obviously have to continue into expanded overdrive with you. And we should have a database of this, because there are the groups that help advise people how to defend themselves from the CPS. Number one, they'll try to trick you to sign forms. They'll threaten to take your kid unless you sign forms. But then when you sign the forms, you waive your rights. You know, this is the thing. Your kid falls off a jungle gym. They shouldn't have, they say. Normal things. Kids burning themselves on the stove. Normal stuff is their excuse to try to break up the family and take your kid. Now, they have the doctor where you took your kid to the hospital, spying on you and reporting. You know, my dad's a physician, but when I dislocated my shoulder chicken fighting in a pool when I was like 10 years old, you know, that's where you stand on somebody's shoulders and wrestle. My dad said, listen, they're going to ask you at the hospital what happened, and if you get this wrong, they're going to try to take you. And sure enough, they did when we got there. They don't care. But, ma'am, I understand you're really freaked out. I'm gonna come back to you in overdrive and hear what you have to say. But number one, don't get panicked. That feeds the vampires. They want that job to extract the horror and the pain. Don't worry, they're cursed to hell. Child kidnappers are cursed to hell. Not just hell when they die, hell on earth. Okay, so we're gonna talk about this when we come back. We'll be right back. You're five times more likely to be abused in CPS custody than anywhere else. Okay, Ellie is calling us. We're into extended overdrive because we've got to talk to her. And the problem is, whenever we start taking these calls, then countless people call, and I'm not a vampire, psychic vampire, so the sounds of anguish and pain and frustration is like pure torture. But if you go to a vampire event with the, I've been to a lot of these family courts when I used to really fight this here locally, back when I was just on local radio and on Access TV, and the special, they have special cops assigned to it, special CPS, special judges. It's like little fat Nelly weirdos and little pot-bellied pedophile types and always pretty much female judges with butch haircuts who usually have a whole string of kids they've taken from people themselves. Again, I'm going to say this. I don't even dislike gay people or hate them. It's that I've been to these events, and a lot of times it's the specialized homosexuals who are then collecting everybody's kids and that run this. So then it's like they're persecuting us, and I'm tired of it. I mean, I've seen it here in Austin. Where you'll see, you know, law enforcement people with their wife, you know, they're both women, and then they got a string of little kids they took. And I'm just going to be honest about this because the kids come first, okay? And if all the homosexual lobby attacks me, I don't care. Just go right ahead. And it's other groups, the big orphanage groups, and DynCorp is the biggest contractor nationwide running the child grabbing. Now, and I'm not trying to freak this lady out. I just want everybody to know the danger out there. Groups that fight CPS. I personally, you know, have had my kids jump around, jump into things. We all know they do. Thank God my son this weekend did it into something that broke, and it didn't hurt him. He jumped into a lamp, and it broke, and was glass all around. But see, I know wealthy people whose daughter falls off a jungle gym and breaks their hand. One case broke was a boy's thumb. CPS comes and tries to take them, or says, "Well, just go to parenting classes and pay us money and get into probation with them, so the vampires can have entry and kind of run a database of your kids and see, you know, if some Saudi Arabian or something wants your kid." I'm not kidding. These are criminals, and they're, some of them were abused, so they think everybody's an abuser and they're going to punish parents. Their training in school in college, I've shown the textbook, says the family is evil, needs to be gotten rid of. Others, some of them are actually well-meaning, but that's why CPS has about a 56%. You pull this up. Pull up more than 50% turnover in CPS workers. Because the good people get in thinking they're going to help kids. And like they had CPS workers in New York go public about how they grab kids for medical experiments. So the point is, you can't have an evil government protect kids in these family courts because they're eugenics courts. They're not real courts. If somebody's beating their kid with a baseball bat, that's assault with a deadly weapon. The cops are involved. The neighbors see it. The cops come. You go to jail. But see, now it's moved into a thing of, you know, you're sitting there on the stove. Your kid jumps into you. A little bit of thing gets on, is a little bit of a whatever, and then they come and try to take your kid. But I've seen far worse stuff. You need to know when you go to the doctor. When you go, they're spying on you. And if you just type in groups that fight CPS, there's a lot of great tidbits. I'm going to go to her in a minute. I'm kind of procrastinating because of the sound of her crying. Really, it is not. I start feeling like crying, getting upset, and also I start having things flash through my mind with these CPS people that isn't good. So I'm just not going to, you know, women and children in distress gets me really going the wrong, you know, I just can't handle it anymore. We're going to take the country back, though. Take it back to handle it that way. Now, we can do a lot more good getting the word out right now, okay? I'm going to get these people, don't worry. Now, continuing here, you can get familyrights.us, how to fight the CPS. Just type in how to fight the CPS or groups that fight the CPS. You'll get a lot of good groups out there. Like Family Rights. There's some Homeschool Defense League people I've had on that have the best info. Here's CaliforniaHomeschool.net. They'll usually have it for your state. You're up in Wisconsin, a very wicked Nelly command base up there. Now, I'm going to go to you, ma'am. I'm going to go to you, Ellie. You've got the floor. Don't cry. Just try not to. Tell us about your case, where you are. There's groups that fight this, mainly victims out there. There's lawyers that fight it. They're going to hear you. And you can give out an email or something for folks. Now, tell us what happened. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. So basically what happened was, as soon as she says that, I said to her, I was like, so help me if you take my child.
So start the whole story. Hold on. No, listen, you don't want to talk to the vampires before you get a lawyer. You don't want to get one of the local lawyers that'll just suck money out of you and hand the kid over. You're going to have to settle down or they're going to win. The wolves want to get you off in a corner and have their way. And even if you were, quote, an abuser, which you're probably not, they're five times more likely to hurt your kids. So the law of averages, just get rid of the Department of Education, Department of Health and Human Services that has bounties in the health departments. They're all criminal groups set up 100 years ago for eugenics. Start the whole story. Go ahead.
Okay. So, like I said, like my son, he got like a scar on his face from like obviously a water burn or whatever. And, you know, I remember my son coming back to me after, you know, school that day, the day after he had that happen. He tells me that the nurse was asking him a bunch of questions. And I'm like, well, what did you tell her? He was like, well, I told her I just didn't want to talk about it. And I'm like, Josh, you need to not do that. You need to tell them if something happened, even if it wasn't on purpose, if mommy didn't hurt you on purpose, you still have to let them know. And he's like, okay. And then I'm like, so if they ask you.
All right, so the government training camp's got a quota. The teachers sent him to the Soviet nurse, the injector lady, the vaccine pusher, the Ritalin pusher, because that's what they do in the schools now. I mean, I was like a school student aide as a senior because I had finished my courses. And she called me in and first kind of asked me if I wanted to date her when I got out of high school. She was a middle-aged blonde. And then she asked if I like Ritalin. She said it's like speed. It's a really great drug. And I said, no, I run 6 miles a day, lady. I mean, look at me. And back then I looked like four or something, not like what I look like today. And so the school pusher was there. How old's your son?
He's only six. He just started the first
That's
grade.
Not good. The younger, when they're older, you can have parents running chainsaws on them and they don't care. It's the young ones, but he's still not really little. So that's a good thing there. They'll probably just want to get some classes and suck some money out of you. He's not blonde haired, blue eyed, is he?
Oh, God. No, like he's
well, that's their favorites. Yeah, they got pervs they like. And I'm not trying to scare you. You just need to know that there is a market. Now, ma'am, start over there. So what happened then? So the Nelly creature is a female or a male? The CPS person called you.
And it's a female. The way she was talking to me over the phone is really, you know, kind of aggressive or whatever.
No, she was wanting to freak you out. Well, she was wanting to get some psychic blood. So the vampire called. What happened?
So I told her, you know, if she did anything, like take him out of that school, she's going to regret it. I was going to, you know, sue her or something. So I drove up to the school as fast as I could to get him out of the classroom, and I did. And I freaked out at the teacher, and I tried not to get emotional, but I don't know. So I freaked
out. Well, I understand they've broken down the economy, and you probably don't know if you have much money. I don't know if you're a single mother. But they like to have it where you're isolated and got to put them in a camp. It's the government training camp. Your child would be better with no education than going to a government death camp. Now, where they drink the fluoride and everything else, they have the drills. So you freak the teacher out. She came in crying. It's normal when you know a predatory group is coming for you. This show is here to reinstill normal instincts in people. But the teacher, please continue.
I said to her, I was like, I'm not going to keep my kid in here any longer. I'm taking him out. And I'm not going to allow you guys to literally go behind my back and try to kidnap him, you know, via the CPS. And the teacher was like, well, it's not my problem. I can't even remember what she said.
Yeah, just following orders. Guaranteed she or he is the person that sent him to the drug pusher.
Yeah, and then, like, as soon as I come out of the classroom with my son, so help me, I look at this, and here is, like, to the side of me is, like, the CPS worker. It's this, like, big bovine woman. She says to me, she actually grabs for my son, and I pull her away, and I'm like, if you touch my son again, I promise you, you're going to regret it. Are you the one that I spoke to over the phone? She's like, yeah. And then she was like, will you let me talk? I was like, no, you tried to grab for my son. You lost that, you lost the chance to talk.
Oh, wait, she did? Hold on. You've confirmed they did try to go snatch him.
Yeah, he literally, I got there seconds before she got there.
Well, listen, if you got, let me tell you, if you got family in another state before they trump up more stuff, you move to the other state and you just withdraw your child out of their system and they'll move on to other kids to kidnap. Do you have family in another state?
I mean, I do, but I can't really leave because right now I'm pregnant and my boyfriend is like forced to stay here.
Yeah, but ma'am, listen, number one, you need to get married. Number one, he needs to work, however, move and get five jobs if he has to. But I'm not going to sit here and give you advice, actually. You do what you want. I'm telling you what I would do. We're going to skip this break and then just go to the 30 and end this transmission. Listen, ma'am, I want to help you. Tell me where the vampire is now. So she's saying, listen to me.
Well, this is what happened. I got a phone call from my dad, like, probably 10 minutes before, like, I got on the phone with you. And he says to me, he's like, well, the police and the CPS lady are here. And I was telling him what happened. Because in between, by the way, she called me the B word because,
You should record. Let me stop you. So your children are at your dad's house?
No, I was actually going to go there. But
well, then why were they at his house? Why were they at his house?
Oh, because I live there, and my address is still at my dad's.
That's like, good. See, that's why when you call to get a pizza, they mark down with your name and credit card where you're really at. They use that as their real database of where you're at. So you hadn't ordered a pizza lately, so they obviously didn't have your show. So are they coming to get you right now?
This is what he says to me. He was like, well, they need to my dad tells me, he was like, well, they want to find out how to meet with you because he was like, because whatever happened, they're trying to figure out about, you know, the scar in his face and whatever. He was like, whatever happened at the school.
When you say scar, has he just got a red whelp on his face?
Huh?
Has he got a red whelp on his face?
No. He just has like a, it looks like a, like it literally, you could tell it was like a burn from water.
But what does it look like? Is it a scab? What is it?
It's discolored.
Yeah, it's a little red spot. It's like a red spot. Huh? It's a red spot.
Yeah, well, it was a red spot. Now it's healed up.
Yeah, well, let's just stop right there. Again, we had neighbors over a few months ago, and they invited a friend over, and my son's got a birthmark. And liberals, so-called liberals, are the worst. My son's got a birthmark on the side of his head, and they always walk over and ignore the parent because, again, they'll also criticize you for having kids. And it was a UT professor. And she said, oh, what happened to your face? And he said, it's my birthmark. And then she goes, is it really? And she was kind of looking at me. And I went, yeah, it's a birthmark. And she's like, oh, it's their little power. It's their little goodie. It's their little evil. And they like to walk to my wife in Whole Foods and say, you got three kids. Again, it's all about hatred of America, hatred of families, hatred of decency. They're rotten filth. And, again, it's all about you're bad. And it's this servile, and they love it. The hippies, you know, have been turned into these little Nazis, and they love their bisphenol A and their breast cancer, and they love their evil, they sacrament it, they love being conned, they love families are bad, men are bad, guys with redneck voices are even worse. I'm an unholy demon, you see, because I actually have freedom, and I have guns, and I have strength, and I'm an evil sacrament to the feminist goblin. Okay, and so I understand. So how did this happen? He bumped into you or something and got a little bit of water on him? I mean, what happened?
Well, like, I was boiling water for, like, eggs, because I always boil my water first. And, like, I figured I didn't want to do the egg thing because I started getting sick. So what happened was I got ready to take the water and dump it in the sink. My son comes flying into the living room.
Now, they get a lot of kids with stove accidents. Yeah, that's why we don't even let them in the kitchen and keep the stuff on the back burners. Okay, so he bumped into it, no big deal. I would get a hold of a family lawyer, and I would just call the police themselves and say, you're not, you know, I know they were coming to grab my kid, and it's a normal response. I know you have quotas. And say, I've contacted National Radio, the Alex Jones Show. I would take photos of it. And I would call a family lawyer. And I would check reviews of it. So are they coming to your house right now?
Well, that's what I was trying to say. Like, my dad gave me the phone number to one of the police officers, and because my dad is kind of weird in this way, he says to me, he was like, well, he's a brother, so, as in he's black, so, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, anything happening over the phone, so just call him so he doesn't send the warrant out on you. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, it doesn't matter if he's black or white, he's still going to screw me over. He's working for another, you know, he's working for the lower hand. It's like,
so your dad is black?
Yeah, I'm black, and my dad's black. I mean, like, my child's biracial.
No, I understand. They really like to get black kids, yeah. No, black government enforcers feed on blacks. It's like it's their black cops kill blacks for no reason all the time. It's like they've proved that they're in the system by doing that. Now, this might be a nice guy, too. There's some black cops that understand. There's some cops, period, that understand what's going on and have seen, been around these CPS ghouls enough. Well, I think you should settle down. Obviously, you're right to come and get your son. I think the fact that you rebuked the teacher, but I understand getting emotional, makes them want to prove something. I don't think it hurts to call the cop and say, listen, I just know they were coming to get my son. It was no big deal. It didn't even scar him. I wouldn't even call it a scar. You know, it's a red whelp because he bumped into you. And say, I don't want to meet with you guys someplace where you grab my son. Say, I need to get a hold of representation, and then I'll be happy to meet with you guys once I have a lawyer. And just let him know that's fine. And then I would go check into a hotel for a couple days. Just so you don't have to worry about the stress, worry about any of it. Tell him your son's out because of emotional distress of them trying to grab him. And say you're just getting your lawyer. And I would spend a lot of time reading on the websites and reading, you know, the different ways to handle them. And then make a decision on what you're going to do yourself. But I would type into the search engine here, you know, basically how to fight the CPS, and I would go and look at different ideas and see what you would do. I personally just would have been cold with them, I understand getting emotional, and said, oh, it's no big deal, yeah, he bumped into me. And then when the snake called, I'd say, well, it's a little bitty red whelp, I mean, and then say, oh, okay, well, I need to get a lawyer then, and, you know, I need to get, you know, some advice on that, and great. And then say, I'm like, well, I'll put him back in school, but I don't want you grabbing him, to get some verbal thing. Now they'll lie, and just, it's not good. It's better than groveling, because there's so many people that'll grovel, they can steal the kids and get cash bonuses, they'll move on. So it's really bad to grovel. It's secondarily bad to really get hysterical, because they'll feed off that too, and get upset. It's best to be very cold with them, okay, and just be like, listen to me. That's the way to talk to them, okay? And say, I know you got quotas. I know you're, you know, a criminal organization. It's good to let them know, hey, I know you're a crook. And you know, they're telling them you're going to sue them. That's always a nice thing. Because, see, they don't want to go after a water buffalo. Lions will only go after water buffalo if they're starving. Because water buffalo will kill them sometimes. They're powerful. They want to go after a little ding-ding or a little gazelle. They want to go after something little and juicy. And so I would go ahead and call the cop. And, I mean, does your dad not know where you live?
Oh, no, my dad knows where I live. He's just not going to tell them. He's not that type of person.
Well, that's good. Well, listen. Listen, I'm not going to give you advice. I would, A, pull out a Dodge. I would, B, call that cop, and I'd call the CPS lady and say, look, you may be a nice person. I just hear about the horror stories with you guys. I want to work this out. You called me a bitch. You're sorry for that, even if she's not. So you're sorry for that. I'm sorry for getting upset. Let's work this out, because she may not be a ghoul. Probably is. But still, even if they're a ghoul, they'll tend to back off, okay, because you got your hackles up. They want to move on to easier quarry. They don't want to rob a house that's got the lights on. They know you got the lights on now, okay, and you just let them know that if they send you a signed thing that you can take them to a third party, doctor. Oh, yeah, that's what my dad would tell me to do. Go to a local physician yourself and say, I wanted to get this checked out. Because my son a few days ago spilt water on it, and the school was asking about it, and I would like to, get your take on it, and then you can quote that doctor or whatever, and then if you feel calm, say, well, CPS was calling the school wanting to have him examined. Will you give me a report on it? Just act calm, get that done, and then regardless, you've got that. And then you can go. So I would go to a doctor, A, so you have a physician that's examined him, and say a physician has examined him, there's no problem. That's always a nice little giblet, because they can claim the child's in imminent danger and get a confiscation order. And then I would contact the police officer and say, well, I need time to get a lawyer, and then you can meet maybe at the law firm or something. How does that sound?
That sounds more realistic than what I was going to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I've done with he had gym class. One of my secretaries, one of my customer service people, her daughter, I saw it, had a little bitty bruise. Been around for years, really sweet little girl, really nice, mom and dad, come to the company parties and stuff. And they got big quotas down in the county south of Austin, because we're here in South Austin, so they live in Hayes County. And CPS couldn't get there that day, but then they were calling saying, meet us. And I told her, drive by. And sure enough, they had the cops hiding. They were going to try to grab her. So we went public on air, made a big deal out of it, made the newspaper. And then I ended up having them meet at my lawyer's law firm. I think I paid for it. I don't remember. The point is, I think I did. A couple thousand, because it was a bunch of stuff going on. And then they met at the lawyer. And the lawyer said, go get the doctor note and all this. And I'm talking about a little bitty bruise. I mean, my kids have bruises on their knees, you name it. They're running around the woods. This is illegal now in America. Now, once they get your kid and hand them over, best case scenario, to a mill where they just warehouse them, feed them two or three hot dogs a day and collect money. And, usually they're drug heads. I clean carpets for a summer. That's why potheads send me emails going, don't say it's potheads. Okay, well, I'd go to houses and there'd be like 10 kids in them. Living on dirty mattresses, eating fast food if they were lucky, that looked disheveled and skinny. There'd be some waddling pothead wandering around who was the foster parent with wafting marijuana smoke. And because of that, kids can drown in pools. They don't get in trouble because it's the state and they're protecting themselves. That's a best case scenario. But, the good news is, even if they tried to say you were bad, you could probably get the child put with your parents. But some parents are lazy and don't want to take the kids. You're going to be all right. Okay? So you do what you think is best. And do you want to give people your email?
Yeah, my email. It's Paviel, my full name. It's P as in Paul, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, IELLE _ Henderson, HENDERSON @yahoo.com. That if anyone has any information out there as far as like CPS, like
victim. Hold on, we gotta go longer. No, you ain't seen nothing yet. That poor lady, Ellie in Wisconsin, thought I was saying bye and hung up. I'm not gonna give her personal advice because I don't know her situation, but I would get out of the house, I'd call that police officer and say, I'm taking my child to a doctor. And after they've been seen by the doctor, I'll tell you the doctor place and where it was, and fax them the report and say, you can call the doctor's office, go talk to them. The child's fine. Because then it can be ascertained that there's not an imminent danger and the child's head wasn't chopped off or something. I understand your fear once you found this out with the school. I would have just gone to the school, and I'm not saying you're bad. I understand getting emotional, believe me. Going and just saying, hey, something came up, family deal, checking them out. Thank you. And then not answering the phone when they called you, and then just calling them back after they closed and saying, you know, a lot of times they make them sleep there in their offices, the little kids and everything. It's pretty, don't even feed them. These people are sick. They can abuse kids all day, and that's okay. And then call them and say, oh, yeah, I went to this doctor. Here's the info. And deal with it that way. Now, if you keep your kid out 4 or 5 days, they'll try to trigger a truancy. But you can also just withdraw them from school. There's a form to do that. Now, the problem is you're pregnant. And sometimes they like to grab one child and then grab the next one. And they got a big, they can get $500,000 for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid or black raven hair with blue or green eyes. Look out. It's come out in the news. They have databases for those. And they've got operatives in schools, you name it, hunting raven-haired children with blue eyes, you're in trouble. Green, they'll stop at nothing. The elites will pay millions for one of those through the adoption agencies. They are hunted. Hunted. Black hair, green eyes. I guess they call that a Cajun queen. I had a girlfriend look like that once. The point is, they will come after you. Okay? And believe me, I've studied this. I've looked at it. I've seen the dark side. I've opened a door when the lady called the hospital. They were trying to take their kids. I already knew about their case. And the cop was choking the woman to sign the document, grabbing her by the throat, by the back of the neck. And the cop looked up, and I saw that big, fat, evil, I can't even handle it anymore. I'm having flashbacks. There's nothing worse than having a pedophile look at you with that with a badge and a gun. I mean, you're just like, my God, I want to. You want to vomit. I mean, it is tyranny incarnate. It is tyranny incarnate, and you just see it, and the evil, and they know you see it, and they know they're going to go on and have their way. They just know the world's one big, wonderful place because the American people bow down to their corruption, bow down to their evil, bow down to their fake authority and the monkey suits and the crowns the government people wear with all their festooned garbage. And hell has been released upon this country. But it's all coming out. The government ships the drugs in and the guns out. They ship them to the drug gangs around the country, and they leave the drug gangs alone that rob your house and your car. And the cops get paid cuts of it in most cities. And then when they pull you over, a family man, and you've had one beer, you go to jail. Or they catch your kid with marijuana, and they go to jail and learn how to be real criminals. It's all master planned out. I got to end this right now. I got to start intensely getting ready for 7 o'clock tonight, InfoWars Nightly News. If you want to put a stop to this, you go after the head of the snake. That's the private Federal Reserve. That's the hijackers. That's the enemy. A peaceful demonstration to identify them as the enemy, not capitalism. They want to end free market to take all of our wealth and pay it to themselves in austerity measures. I'm going to shoot a video today that goes up on the website. We got press releases out about it. Occupy the Federal Reserve movement announced and launched. Get our articles at InfoWars.com. Get out to everybody you know. Spread the word about the transmission. It is 1776 worldwide. We don't have a choice but to resist tyranny or let it fully eat our guts. I'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock, Lord willing, and back live tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. I am Alex Jones. This is the InfoWar. I hate you, evil. I hate tyranny.